Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call into Free Talk Live and bring up whatever is on your mind. You can tell us what you think about what we're talking about, or you can change the subject altogether. It doesn't matter. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
Colin.
And Colin, yes. You have to say and if you're third.
Oh, I have to say and. Oh, okay.
Yeah, from now on. That's two demerits. But anyways,
are you giving out demerits tonight, Bonnie, or taking them away already?
Yes. Okay. Just right in the first few seconds of the show. I mean,
how many demerits does Colin have right now?
Right now he has two.
Okay. All right.
But hopefully he won't have any more.
All right.
Wait, you're just talking about demerits related to the show and not to anything else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in life in general, I think I'm probably in the high 10,000s right now.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. We have a story to update the listeners on. This was one of the craziest stories that we've ever talked about on Free Talk Live. At least me. Like, Ian and Mark have been doing it for 22 years. I haven't been doing the show for 22 years, so this was one of the craziest stories we ever talked about. There is a newspaper, a small town newspaper called the Marion County Record in Kansas. In last year, I believe it was, Riley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was last year when it got raided by the police its reporting.
The police raided their offices and homes, and the reason is so fishy and disgusting. It really makes you believe like the cops are doing this as a way to punish people for no reason. Not for no reason, but because they want to stop them from speaking. We're going to get into it. So as far as I remember, it had something to do with they were investigating someone that's kind of a friend of the cops, like a restaurant owner that is friendly with the cops. And then as they were doing that, they started getting into records about this main cop. I don't know what you call him because I don't care about their stupid hierarchy. Like,
probably police chief or something like that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, people are always like, wait, you mean the chief? Wait, you mean the sheriff, not the chief? It's like, I don't care.
Yeah. It's just, why does it matter? They're just people with magical titles and magical costumes and shiny badges that make them think they're over us or something.
It's like, if I said the wrong title to somebody in an MLM and they're like, excuse me, I'm diamond certified platinum level.
What's an MLM?
It's a multi-level
marketing. Oh, okay.
So yeah. Like imagine somebody being like, are you stupid? I'm silver diamond whatever.
Actually, I like to do that anytime somebody new shows up into a group I'm a part of is just be like, you didn't know what that was?
Well,
but I'm a troll.
Of course you do,
I was going to say, that can be funny, but when it comes to cops, it's like even people who are anti-cops end up doing that. It's like they really are really into the hierarchy and paying attention to that. It's like they don't like cops, but they'll be like, Bonnie, you mean sheriff, right? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why do you memorize that? I don't have space in my brain for disgusting pigs. So
tell us more about these pigs.
I don't eat pigs. I don't like them. I won't get near them. I'm afraid that they will
beat me. You don't
like
bacon?
Well, honestly, I do kind of like bacon, but I try not to eat it.
Okay.
The other thing is like pepperoni. Colin and I were literally just talking about that.
Oh.
I don't like to eat pig, so I got to stop saying that I don't eat it at all. But we're like changing the subject. So like I don't like the humans that are called pigs that are subhuman. And Riley's
I feel like it's an insult to actual pigs.
Riley's going to be upset with me. But tonight I had to title the show and I was thinking, because I just watched a very bad video that we're going to get into of something a cop did. So I'm like sitting there about to title the show and I started to write all cops are pigs, but that wasn't good enough after what I just saw. So I titled it all cops are subhuman.
Well, I wouldn't say all cops are subhuman, but I understand the sentiment. I mean, most of these people are acting in a subhuman system, so they end up being subhuman later down the line.
Sure act like they don't have like access to a soul, in my opinion.
Yeah, they just follow the orders. We gotta follow the orders. Follow the orders.
Oh my gosh.
Follow the orders.
File your papers.
Where are your papers? Oh my gosh. I just don't see how they consider themselves any different than the Nazis, honestly. The cops in America.
Oh, lots of what do you call that? When you like lie to yourself, lots of
cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's definitely true. And like mental gymnastics and just ignoring things. Like I would hear my dad, who he's not a cop, he's not as bad as a cop, but he was a soldier. I would hear him kind of make things up in his head to feel better about things. Like he was like, yeah, by the second time I went to Iraq, I started thinking, wait, this isn't about freedom. And it's like,
it took you two tours to figure that out?
I mean, there was a lot of confusion back then. And the thing is, like, it's not like he grew up post 9/11 like me, at least. I was going to say us, but I forget you guys are older than me. I was going to say old, but I didn't want to be mean to Riley. But this is from AP, right? It's from apnews.com. A Kansas paper and its publisher are suing over police raids. They say damages exceed $10 million.
Oh, just $10
million? It exceeds
such
them.
Such a paltry sum for the government, you know. They print out their trillions of dollars, so I guess they can afford $10 million or at least more than $10 million, right?
Yeah, well, this isn't going to be the feds. It's going to be the local cops, but even still, I'm sure they can totally swing $10 million. A weekly Central Kansas newspaper and its publisher filed a lawsuit Monday over police raids last summer of its offices and the publisher's home, accusing local officials of trying to silence the paper and causing the death of the publisher's 98-year-old mother. Do you remember that at least, Riley?
I do. I remember covering that story with you on the show. I think Ian was on that night with us.
I think it was Nikki, actually. Ian wasn't in jail yet, but Nikki was here with us because we played the video. And I remember us all just being like, wow, this is so disgusting, because the cops were like coming in this woman's house and she's saying stuff like, you're not supposed to be here. Get out of here. You know what? It's my house. Get out. And they were just like, ma'am, we're going to need you to calm down. And like starting to actually like make fun of her, like they start going through stuff and she's like, don't go through those papers. Those are private papers. And he's just like, ma'am, you need to be quiet and stuff like that. Can you? Oh, my God. I hate them so much. That's so freaking disgusting.
Yeah, I actually have a story I tell people about an interaction I had in Mexico. Hmm. And believe it or not, like, the cops are actually better down there. They just don't kill people over nothing, which happens in the U.S. all the time.
It does.
And I know, so that one comment alone is going to get you more calls than anything else, because even libertarians will be like, no, everything's worse in Mexico, the cartels and this and that and that. And I'm like, yeah, you have to pay bribes, but they don't just like kill people for nothing down there. And won't go into that other thing quite yet. Something will probably bring it out later. But I had a thing where I was on a bus and they were checking for immigration paperwork in Mexico, and which none of the people really liked. Once the guy got off the bus, they were all like kind of complaining about it. These were all Mexicans. I was the only gringo there, and so as he's checking everybody for the paperwork, a lady needed to use the bathroom, and so she gets up and she walks up and she's like, oh, can I please pass and go to the back to use the bathroom? And like, the thing is, his tone completely changed, because before that he's like, I need to see your papers. Where are your papers? Blah, blah, blah. He's like talking like that to everybody. And the lady's like, oh, yes, of course, ma'am. Oh, please. Oh, go by. You know, all of this is in Spanish, of course. But I was like, oh, that is crazy. Like, in the United States, somebody'd be like, I need to use the bathroom. You can sit down and you can wait till I'm done, but I'm going to go in my pants. Oh, I don't care. They got trained that way
from public school.
Yeah, they definitely got trained that the authority in the room, the teacher, gets to decide when someone else gets to go to the bathroom or vice versa.
But it's actually they still have civility while they're doing their jobs, and American police don't have civility at all. Huh. You know, they could care less. I mean, the stories we've heard about people defecating themselves, puking on themselves, all sorts of things like that, or people who are having medical emergencies and like telling them like, hey, you need to get me to a hospital, and then being like, you can just wait there, then the person like winds up dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just completely uncalled for, out of line, and it is actually, I would say, criminal.
Yeah, I mean, it actually literally is criminal to act like you have rights to stop someone from going to the bathroom or getting them medical help, because you just don't have the right to do it. If you don't have the right to do something to a person, then you're doing something that's wrong, so it's criminal. Don't make fun of my sparkly pen. You're going to distract me, because I really need to use this sparkly pen.
Go on with the story.
So I just think that if you don't have the right to do something and you do it, you're doing something that's a crime. And it's so easy to not do that. It's so easy to not commit a crime. A crime is just if you do something that is wrong. And something that is wrong is doing something you don't have the right to do. And the only things you don't have the right to do are hurt and kill and rape and steal from other people. It's so freaking easy. I never
do crimes.
One second,
I'm writing that list down right now. I need to remember this for later.
Oh my gosh. And if somebody is hurting you and you defend yourself, it's self-defense, so it's not a crime, it's not wrong. When would it ever come into the equation that you need to stop somebody from using the bathroom? Please tell me. But yeah, I get your point that in Mexico they're not as bad. Yeah. To be fair, sometimes... Well, okay, I could be fair to the cops, but the thing is like, oh, being fair to the cops at Ian's jail, letting me use the bathroom sometimes. Meanwhile, they... literally have left
well yeah
me.
That's the Stockholm syndrome kicking in. It's like,
no, it's not, because I'm not,
no, I'm not saying you, but just that's like kind of how it works. So you're like,
some people do,
oh,
that, yeah,
oh, they're nice, they let me use,
oh,
the bathroom,
they were nice, yeah, this one time, they must be good people. No, they're terrible people working for a terrible system. They're not good people.
I completely agree. So I would say, oh, it can be nice because sometimes they let me go to the bathroom. But the thing is, they also stopped me from visiting Ian once, only because I yelled at one of the cops. And the listeners who heard that a few weeks ago heard about that, and it was like a complete outrage. And our friends called the police station and complained, and they unbanned me. So that was really nice. But the other thing that they've done to me was I have to put all my stuff into a locker whenever I arrive. I don't have the ability to not put anything into the locker unless I want to leave my keys in the car. Then I could bring nothing in. But I always have my phone, my wallet. And that's the other thing. My ID is in my wallet. Anyways, I want to bring stuff in. I don't want to leave it in the car because the cops have all these signs everywhere that say, like, if you lose something in your car, it's your problem. Mm. And, like, there's a bunch of crackheads going to visit their... baby daddies and stuff at the same time as me going to visit my actual husband. And anyways, what was I saying about it? Oh yeah, so I always have to bring stuff in. I always have to put it in this locker. I get my own little key. That's the only thing I'm allowed to have it on my person when I'm walking into
the
store.
You know what though? What's the update on this story? So the mother or grandmother, maybe, sounds like she was quite elderly. She died.
Yeah,
and then they're suing them. Was that all of the news?
No, there's tons of stuff about it.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to get into it, but I just want to finish what I was saying.
Okay.
So one time I'm leaving with my going in, I have my key in my hand for my locker. No one's in the front office at all. And I put the key in and it just isn't turning. I hear my alarm going off on my phone. So I'm hearing Believe by Cher playing out of my locker. And I don't have my keys, I don't have my wallet, I don't have my jacket, and I don't have my... Because they also make you take off your jacket. And I don't have my phone. And it's just not working, it's not opening. So I press the button, and a cop woman, which is like, ugh, I hate women that are cops, like, almost more than I hate men that are cops, because it's like, you're just like a complete traitor to, like, your nature, and I hate you. Anyways.
Oh, wow.
But what I was going to say was, she goes, like, what do you want? And I'm just like... So the thing is, my stuff is stuck in this locker. It won't open. And I really need to go. Like, I told her, like, I really need to leave, even though I didn't necessarily have something I needed to do. But I didn't want her to be lackadaisical. And she was like, ma'am, it's going to take a while. We're doing something right now. And I was like, listen, I need to leave. And I'm not trying to be like rude, only for my own good. I'm like, listen, I really need to leave. There's no one in there that can come out here and possibly help me open this locker somehow. And she was just like, it's going to be a while. And she's like, silent. I broke the locker. I broke it open.
Oh, wow.
I turned the thing so hard that it just like popped. I feel like I could do that to any of them now that I'm like, no, like had to do that. But also it was like anger. Like I didn't feel the pain in my fingers until like an hour later.
Wow.
You turned green too, right?
No. But so, yeah, I broke the locker and then they were all looking at me through a window when I left and like obviously talking about me, like using their hands and like looking at me like, oh, my God. And they didn't ban me for that. They only banned me for calling a cop a bundle of sticks like a different time.
That rhymes with baguette.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing about the reason I was bringing it up is just like the pettiness of these people, like the fact that they don't care. Like, this old lady was saying, like, don't go through my stuff. That's private stuff. And they're just like, listen, we're just doing our jobs. Like, calm down. And she's like,
that's my favorite phrase they say.
We're just doing our job. Your job, you're stupid. That's your job to go through people's stuff.
Well, no, because that, I mean, you know, nonsense. that was a defense of a lot of Germans in the Nuremberg trials. Yeah. Oh, we were just doing our job. And they said, oh, no, that doesn't matter. You can't do these sorts of things.
Yeah.
So.
And that people just seem to have forgotten that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you'd like to think that there's a heaven or something like that where people are going to be judged for the things that they've purposefully, you know, done that they should have known were wrong, or they did know were wrong, but decided to go along with it. And there's a bigger danger. It's not just that you're doing a wrong thing, but it's that you're going along with doing a wrong thing as a part of a group, because that's how really bad things happen, you know, like genocides and stuff like that. You know, you need to always say no to doing the things that are wrong, that you know are wrong. You know, it's one thing if you don't know or if you don't understand, but, you know, you oftentimes know.
Yeah, I feel like most people have, like, a gut feeling. But the thing is, like, I would totally believe that some cops don't know what they're doing is wrong. I just don't think it's an excuse. Because, like, if you were raised wrong being, like, your parents didn't tell you not to hurt other people, don't take their stuff, then you might not have that ingrained into you and you might need to learn it, and nobody's going to teach you it as far as public school and like college is concerned. So
that's why I wrote down the list just a minute ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to quiz myself on that later tonight. Make sure I got all that. It's don't rape, kill, steal. What was the other one?
And hurt people.
And hurt people. Yeah. You can't hurt people.
Wow. This is going to be really hard.
You got
this. Don't say that. Don't give the cops some kind of excuse like, oh, these libertarians on the radio, well, one of them said that they are a bad person. They're a rapist. Don't say that. Well, anyways, yeah, the cops are subhuman. That's what we're talking about here today. The lawsuit did not. So this is APnews.com again. The lawsuit did not include a specific figure for potential damages. However, in a separate notice to local officials, the paper and its publisher said they believe they are due more than $10 million. The lawsuit from the Marion County Records parent company and Eric Meyer, its editor and publisher, accuses the city of Marion, the Marion County Commission, and five current and former local officials of violating free press rights and the right to be free from unreasonable law enforcement searches guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit also notified the defendants that Meyer and the newspaper plan to add other claims, including that officials wrongly caused the death of Meyer's mother the day after the raids, which the lawsuit attributes to a stress-induced heart attack. Whoa, I forgot it was a heart attack. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I bet a bunch of people who are really stupid and they're not holistic with their health might even like try to say like, there's no way you can say that's related, but like a mental breakdown, maybe not a breakdown isn't the right word, but a mental shock like that that's so terrible can absolutely hurt a person, especially an old person's heart.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, that was definitely an ordeal to go through it, to have people with guns point them at you and raid your house in the middle of the night.
The raids put Marion, a town of about 1,900 people, set among rolling prairie hills about 150 miles southwest of Kansas City, Missouri, at the center of a national debate over press freedoms. It also highlighted the intense divisions over a newspaper known for its aggressive coverage of local issues and its strong criticism of some officials. So that's an important thing worth noting. I think that the fact that this went so viral in a way and so many people were talking about it all across the country, I think that might be a reason it said former and current cops. Like, I bet a bunch of them quit. I doubt they got fired, but I bet they didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm listening to this thing and I'm thinking, like, this is like a Hail Mary, what they were doing. Like, they got caught kind of doing something and being uncovered. And actually, if they hadn't done anything, it probably would go away, because sure, there'd be this news article about it and there'd be like some gossip in the town and some people might be angry about it. But this is like really going to break it open, because now, you know, like maybe the state's attorney general gets involved or something like that. You know, it could actually wind up a lot worse for them. And I mean, it sounds like that. It's like the Hail Mary, like, oh, let's just Oh, that's the thing from football, which maybe I shouldn't use it because I don't really know. Actually, I think it comes from Catholic ceremonies.
Yeah,
it comes
I knew that, but I don't really know what it would mean in the same.
In football, what it apparently means is a person who knows nothing about football is it's like a try, last ditch, crazy effort to get a thing to happen, you know, even though it's... You know, but you're like, yeah, oh, I know what we'll do is we'll go and we'll raid his house and do all of this stuff for all of these other reasons. Like, do we know or remember what the original reason was that they...
If this exact article doesn't, like, get deep into it, I'll go find one. It's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder what their original rational... Well, we know why they did it, but what did they say they were doing when they raided the house? What did they say they were after?
I can't recall off the top of my head, but I'm sure Bonnie will find it during the break, or we'll have a crack team of producers find it for
us. Yeah, which is basically just me. The city's former police chief, who later resigned... Oh, awesome, that rapist resigned, which that's another part of the story, and we can get into it in a second. The city's former police chief, who later resigned amid the ongoing fervor... justified the August 11th raids by saying he had probable cause to believe the newspaper and a reporter potentially committed identity theft and other computer crimes in obtaining and verifying information about a local business owner's driving record. So, yeah, they obtained some information about that restaurant owner's driving record. And that restaurant owner was, like, on the side of the cops in other arguments. It was, like, a known thing. The cops even would have, like, meetings at that restaurant. Like, it was a known thing. And they were like, I think this person actually has, like, a bad driving... something bad on their driving record. They legally, the newspaper, legally obtained those records. And then the cops were saying, actually, we think you did something illegal to obtain those records. So we raided your house and killed your mom.
Of course, the police would say that. They just want to justify harming innocent people.
It's such
cover things up.
Dumb justification. It is. I even completely forgot because it's so like, really? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Call in about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash Masternodes. The Masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. Dash transactions are irreversible, so Dash is great for merchants. Plus, its network is protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And that number again is 603-283-6160. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Colin.
Good job. Good job. You did it. So in last segment, we were discussing this story. It's an update from a story we've talked about before, where a newspaper was trying to report on, well, let's just say the newspaper was trying to report on something that they found important, and the cops in the city didn't like them reporting on that specific thing. And so they raided the home of the publisher and the offices of the newspaper. And now, and there was all kinds of crazy like details involved in that, and we're going to get into that. But now the newspaper is suing the police. Well, are they suing the police or suing the city? I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
It says they filed a lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and they're accusing officials. Yeah, it hasn't actually said suing like Marion County or suing the cops only. Yeah, I don't think it's said that so far. Okay. But I think it's just the police, maybe. So let's recap here. It says the city's former police chief, who later resigned amid the ongoing fervor, justified the August 11th raids by saying he had probable cause to believe the newspaper and a reporter potentially committed identity theft and other computer crimes.
Potentially committed. Yeah. Not actually committed, but potentially committed.
Yep. And other computer crimes in obtaining and verifying information about a local business owner's driving record. And that local business owner was a restaurant owner who was friends with the cops, and that was known. The lawsuit claims the paper and its reporters did nothing illegal, the search warrants were improper, and officials had longstanding grudges against the newspaper. Quote, the last thing we want to do is bankrupt the city or county, but we have a duty to democracy and to countless news. I know.
Isn't that great? You could get away with anything for democracy.
I know.
No. This is what the newspaper
said.
Oh, that's
what the newspaper said? Oh,
it's
okay.
Still like,
But, you know, I could have seen the police ironically say that.
We've got a duty to democracy.
Yeah, because it means nothing.
Yeah.
It literally means nothing.
It sure does.
So they said, but we have a duty to democracy and to countless news organizations and citizens nationwide to challenge such malicious and wanton violations. And that's pretty true, I'd say. Definitely sue over that.
So the original thing is what? Something, what were you saying before the break? It was that the chief of police was accused of what? And that's what the newspaper was digging into?
No, that the ostensible reason is, oh, we believe that you did something wrong by obtaining the driving records.
No. But what I'm saying is
they had all kinds of fights with the police before, like disagreements that this newspaper did. And one of the things was they started to realize by interviewing people from the place that the police chief came from last. It was like Missouri, somewhere in Missouri. They realized that he had been accused of, maybe even actually convicted of, maybe not straight up rape, but something like that. But this is a call and talk radio show, and your calls are important to us. So let's go to the phones. We have Tim in Florida. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, I had a couple of questions. First of all, I was thinking if I could send you a can of Mitra 9. I know we were talking about the Kratom. Oh. Kratom. I know everyone always pronounces it differently.
If you wanted to tell me the name, I don't mind buying myself one, but that's really, really nice, Tim. I really appreciate that. What was it again?
I was just thinking, it's Mitra 9, and you don't get that taste, you know, you get like when you mix the powder in. But,
interesting.
Right now, I have a watermelon one. Anyway, I was thinking it could get punctured, you know, if it wasn't packaged properly. And I don't know if they're available up there, but actually more importantly, I called and I'll revisit that. I'll figure out a way to do it. I'll figure out a way to send you into the studio, but,
Oh, thanks. I can keep you on up. Yeah. You can email me if you want. It's Bonnie@freetalklive.com.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim. What was actually on your mind though?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the FBI attacking, what would you call it? Independent media podcasters. And, this is the first since Ian, so I would say the second case that I know about for sure, but basically The Last American Vagabond, as I may have told you before, I listened to that. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm down to two shows, your show and The Last American Vagabond by Ryan Christian, and the IRS decided to go after him for wages earned in 2012.
Whoa, 2012?
That seems like, isn't that past the...
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be 7 years?
That's like 12 years ago.
So they could go after you only for the money up to to 5 years, from what I understand. But if you've, according to them, committed a kind of fraud, right, like knowingly done an illegal thing in hiding it, they could go after you for that as a separate thing, and that has a different statute of limitations.
Wow. So you said, first you said the FBI, then you said the IRS. So did they come together to, like, raid this guy's house or something like that, Tim?
No, they didn't. I don't believe they raided his house, but basically there's a lawsuit. Maybe I meant the IRS and not the FBI. I feel like the FBI was involved, but no, you know what? I think it may have just been the IRS. I'll check up on that. But basically, yeah, they went after him for 2012. And so he's got a lawyer, and he did raise enough, you know, for this set of legal fees. But the lawyer said, this looks completely frivolous. I really doubt it's going to hold up in court. And it looks like they're just trying to, like, punish you to try to seize, you know, any assets you would have, maybe physical assets, which would be his studio.
So you've talked to this guy, you're saying? You told him that?
No, this is something he brought up. Oh. He had been saying for a few months that he was being sued, and he wouldn't go into it. And then finally, a couple of weeks ago, he came out about it. And he does have a Gibson Go. It's www.gibsongo.com/save-TLAV. That's T like Tim, L like Lima Bean, A like Arabian, and B like Victor. I don't know my...
That's fine. Yeah. I think people will have got it. The Last American Vagabond. Right. So... and thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I'm sure some people will want to go check that out. I hope that he listens to you, because you were saying that you said maybe it was like in a comments or something that you don't think that this is going to hold up. I really hope he fights it.
No, that was his lawyer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
sorry,
that was his lawyer. And it's like the process is the punishment and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's hard to get them on that, because you have to show gross, like negligence and stuff like that. You have to show that they really, really did bring a case up for no other reason than to do that, and that they had no justifications in doing it in order to ever get them on that kind of thing. So, unfortunately, the frivolous stuff is really going to go on almost, you know, indefinitely. You know, we need to have huge reform in that to change it.
But do you think they'll obey their own rules, Colin? I mean, these people... These government people don't obey any rules but their own.
I actually sort of believe they do, because if you had complete just chaos, then they wouldn't be able to organize to do things. Like,
okay.
In other words, they give themselves, like, you know, limited immunity, but then they also use the law against themselves. So they have to have some kind of rule system.
I guess,
you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like, well, as long as we do this, we'll be okay. So they give themselves, you know, like an immunity, as long as they're doing things in this way or that way, right? If that, I hope I'm explaining that well enough.
So he's fighting it. You're saying, Tim, other details about what's going on?
Well, he actually had a monthly goal of 10,000 and he surpassed that. Like, he's at 12,000. So, I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't see his lawyer bills, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know that he has basically been covering a counter narrative, you know, as well as, you know, his opinions on that counter narrative as far as, well, many things. First, when I first started, it was about COVID, and he had things right about COVID. You know, he wasn't even saying he was right, but he's speculating on things that turned out to be right. And everyone was calling him a conspiracy theory then. And, you know, by now, pretty much everything he said has come to light in multiple peer-reviewed studies, et cetera, even documentation from, like, the vaccine manufacturers. But now it's like he's totally focused on the Israeli-Palestinian Gaza. And it's not just Gaza. It's West Bank. It's Lebanon. It's Syria. It's going on in a lot of places. But the Israel war, anyway, he's covering that. And he did not invent the counter-narrative on what happened on October 7th, but he was the one that pointed me to it, and I don't think the powers that be really like that.
Hmm. I heard recently, I've been kind of purposely ignoring all the Israel Hamas stuff because it's just like, it's like, I don't need to hear about it every day. But one thing I heard about it recently is that people are finally mad at Israel because Israel apparently accidentally killed an American. Like, forget the other 30,000 human beings.
Was that, well, more Americans have been killed than that by Israel with October 7th onward, but apparently this one got attention. Was it the American, not the American, the World Kitchen Organization food worker? So they basically, that was the most recent thing I know of that was
I think you're right, because, yep, that's exactly what it is. It says, bodies of 6 foreign aid workers slain in Israel, World Central Kitchen founder says they told military about the convoy. So I guess they were doing a convoy, but the Israel government killed them anyway, and one of them was American, I believe.
So I honestly feel like a lot of this stuff, because I'm really big into like looking into like psyops and stuff like that, but also you just get an intuition for it over time. Mm. And it's like, why is there actually so much bad media now about Israel and Palestine more than I've ever seen before? And I mean, you might say, oh, well, because they're doing bad things. I'm like, yeah, but lots of bad things happen all over the world that get washed under the rug. I mean, like, nobody talks about, you know, like what happened to the Uyghurs in China, or, you know, just all sorts of stuff. I mean, even stuff with Israel and Palestine in the past, you know, they got a pass for it. And so I'm like, what's going on right now that, you know, it's actually being talked about?
Because this got out of control. I mean, for years, Netanyahu was basically funding Hamas, propping them up, because you had the Palestinian organization in the West Bank. I forget what they're called. It's not PLO, it's something else. Palestinian Authority.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So by keeping two different groups in power within Palestine in different regions, they couldn't really achieve their two-state solution.
Okay. Do you know what that means, Colin or Riley?
I have no idea, but yeah. I do know that, you know, there are a lot of people cheering on this war because they believe it's going to bring about Armageddon and the coming of their Lord and Savior. And
yeah,
it's just,
that's a really weird part about
it's
all
it's just
this.
Really sad that you're cheering on a war to bring on your Lord and Savior. You're cheering on destruction of humanity just to bring back
Jesus.
Bring back Jesus.
Demand, I mean, sacrifice.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
That's terrible.
About sacrifice, though, it's funny you mentioned that. I know I've brought up Chabad Lubavitch before. I mispronounced it before. I guess I mispronounced it as Chabad Lubavitch. But I went to their site, and they have an article on, you know, how do I convert to Judaism, you know. And it was basically a four-step process, the fourth step being an animal sacrifice once the temple is rebuilt, the third temple.
Wait, there's talk about building
a
third temple.
You can't become one until you do an animal sacrifice at the third temple?
It's basically because there is no third temple. You're exempt until the third temple exists.
Oh, okay. There is talk about building a third temple. I mean, they're going to sacrifice a red heifer, supposedly.
Yeah, they're trying to genetically engineer these red heifers. That's another thing. They are trying to recreate practices of the past, whatever you may think about that.
South Park got it right.
Was that a South Park thing?
Wow. Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, about a red heifer and sacrificing it and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's actually like part of like the Bible or the Torah or something. So
yeah.
That's where what they'd be like referencing.
Probably the Talmud. I've never seen that in the Bible or in the Torah. It's probably in the Talmud, which has its origins in Babylon, and not all Jewish people believe in the Talmud. So there is actually division, including in Israel. And there are a lot, for example, there's, I think it's called Torah Judaism is one group. And also Jewish Voices for Peace is another group. And they're constantly getting into confrontational situations, doing civil disobedience with the IDF and the local police.
Okay. Anything else on your mind tonight, Tim?
No, not really. I really just wanted to give a shout out. It does seem like the government is going after independent media,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of an awareness call.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, during COVID, they were testing stuff out. They want to be able to see. The thing is, if you put any restriction anywhere on speech, like anything, then you're able to balloon that into everything else, not just by a slippery slope, but, you know, I'll just give you an example. Like if I say you can't say or talk about this one topic, then what you do is you go out and you silence somebody. And then when anybody asks why you do it, you just say, oh, they were talking about that topic, but they don't have to be talking about that topic. But
they can be reported to talk about that topic.
Yeah, exactly. You're reporting to everybody that they talked about that topic, but nobody knows because you silenced them.
Yeah.
So you can't silence anybody for anything, or else you run into that scenario.
So the COVID era was definitely a test for something they're going to do to people in the future and already are starting to do.
Yeah. Yeah, with all of the fact checkers and all that sort of stuff. And of course, you know, anybody who wants to say, oh, those are private organizations, you know, Facebook and stuff like that. No, they aren't. I mean, they're getting lots of money from the government. They're working with the government. They have pipelines, like data pipelines that directly send information to, you know, like the NSA and stuff like that. So they don't have to even request it anymore. It's just provided to them for free. So, it really is the government. There is the, like anybody who's saying it's not is just playing like semantic games, basically.
Well, thank you for the call, Tim, by the way. And that number is 603-283-6160. If that sparks something you wanted to bring up with us, that's the number you can call and bring up whatever is on your mind. But I think we should get back in for the rest of this segment to the story about a specific independent media that they, as in the local government in that town in Kansas, went after. I totally believe that there is a trend of the national government going after independent media too, but it makes sense that it would be something that all controllers want to do. They don't want information about what they do getting out easily. They want to control the narrative so people believe that we need them.
Yeah, of course they do. Even with this show, that's the case.
Yeah, they want to control the story. They want to control how the public views them. And if any media outlets decide, oh, well, we got to conduct an investigation, they're going to either silence that media or give them a bunch of propaganda. And most likely, if that media group is willing to ask certain questions to get to the bottom of something, they're definitely going to be pressured by government types to be shut down, for sure.
I totally believe that they did that to Free Talk Live.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing the first time around, if they actually cared and said what they said was the reason why they did it, then somebody would be in jail for that now.
2016 raid on Free Talk Live office.
And then all they did was proceed to basically stalk everyone here, you know, and to try and find something else. And, you know, it's obvious.
Well, it's obvious. It's obvious to me that the FBI is the biggest terrorist organization, the biggest child pornography distributor in the world.
Yes.
And they're coming after a show like Free Talk Live because we're calling them out on that. We're going to tell the world that the FBI is the biggest distributor of child pornography.
Well, I'm not. I'm good, and I would never question our government. I love the FBI.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, just want to clarify if anybody's listening.
April Fool's was 2 days ago.
Yeah. No, I actually mean it.
Well, one thing that they did, a lot of listeners might not know is, that the FBI raided the house here, which the Free Talk Live show is broadcasted from, twice, once in 2016 and once in 2021. And one thing you may not know, even if you do know that, is that the FBI was looking for paperwork and they went behind these stacks behind me. That's what they're called. They are big metal racks and they have all kinds of buttons and things on them. They have like audio stuff on them with all these buttons and lights. I wish I could explain it better. Like a Comrex. It has a Comrex. I know that's a word. Anyways, and it has tons and tons and tons of wires on the back of these stacks that are all connected to each other, into the computers, into the floor. And the FBI went and unplugged them randomly. So,
of course they would. They're just ridiculous people. They don't know anything about a studio.
What does that have to do with finding paperwork?
Nothing. It's a way to sabotage.
They probably didn't want any live feeds going of what they were doing.
Well, yeah, that is also the case. So that's one thing. But that's very easy for somebody who was trained to look at the studio and know how to cut that. It doesn't take going to the audio stacks that have nothing to do with the cameras or anything like that and unplugging it. Like if there was somebody who barely knew what they're doing, like I barely know what I'm doing, but I know that it would have nothing to do with anything over there to turn off the cameras.
Yeah.
They might have been like, they might be able to claim like, oh, we were just making sure there wasn't some secret thing over there, but it doesn't make sense to have to unplug random things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes no sense. In my opinion, that was just, like Riley said, an attempt to sabotage Free Talk Live because they put Ian, the most technical wizard, in jail that day. And Aria got out that day, but she wasn't allowed to come over here.
Twizzard?
What?
Technical wizard? Twizzard?
A Twizzard? Tech-kizzard? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Captain Kick-Ass.
I was about to say, you'll have to ask Captain.
He loves portmanteaus.
Yeah, ask him to do technical wizard as a portmanteau.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they put a bunch of people behind bars and they unplugged our Comrex stack thing. So, obviously, they're trying to silence people who just, like Free Talk Live is a very special thing. If you haven't thought about it, you need to think about the fact that anyone who wants to can call into Free Talk Live and bring up whatever they want. Yes, if you annoy me too bad, I might hang up on you. You need to learn some more people skills. You need to not be annoying.
Oh, wait, was that one of the rules, people skills?
Well, it's not a rule, but if somebody calls in...
I mean, what am I doing here?
And is annoying
me. Do you not have people skills, Colin?
No, not at all.
Oh.
Well, what I mean by
that... I'm on my best behavior right now. I don't want any more demerits.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You really don't. But... all I'm saying is anybody can call into Free Talk Live who wants to and bring up whatever's on their mind. And that is said so much, you might be taking it for granted. No other radio show is doing that. Every other radio show, they're going to screen you. And if you're not on topic,
and if you're lucky,
you'll
get on the air if you're screened or whatever. And they're just, they probably have a bunch of calls too. We get a few calls here and there, but you know, the lines are always open at 603-283-6160 if you want to call in and disagree with us.
And it's 3 hours worth. It's not like we're like, okay, for the next 10 minutes, we'll take calls and we're taking the one we already knew we were going to take anyway. And it's just important. Like, not everyone has the ability to go start their own radio show. Like,
well,
Ian is a
genius. not only the free talk aspect of it, but I mean, I just think the viewpoints of the hosts here is, you know, in and of itself, you know, threatening enough. I mean, the number of people who've found the show and I'll use the word converted, but, you know, to libertarianism or voluntarism or something like that is, you know, pretty astonishing.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, Free Talk Live was very beneficial in my path for libertarianism. It's how I got started here. It's how I decided to come to New Hampshire.
Me too.
Wait, what were you before? Were you a statist or a cop or what?
Well, I wasn't a cop, obviously. I'm blind, but... I mean, I guess I was kind of a statist. I was leaning more conservative on a lot of things, but over time I've just became more liberty-oriented.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. How did you learn that it's not okay to hit people? Did your parents actually teach you that? 603-283-6160. If you're a statist, you believe in violence, and maybe you should listen to us and figure out why that's wrong. Free Talk Live, more coming up.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And it's Free Talk Live. That means that you can call in about whatever is on your mind. And the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Colin.
So I was wondering, before we get back into the article and what we're talking about, can we promote the 420 event in Concord?
Absolutely.
So coming up on April 20th this year at 420, I'm holding an event. The Cannabis Freedom Rally will happen that day, that time. And even if you don't partake in cannabis, but you believe in freedom for cannabis use and growing, actually, come support the 420 rally in Concord, New Hampshire on April 20th.
Yes, I'm going to go. I think it'll be fun. At first, the other day, I don't know why I said first, but a few weeks ago, Riley and I thought that it may be the same day as the halvening, the Bitcoin halvening, but apparently it's not. That kind of sucks. That would have been cool if it was on 420.
That would be cool. I don't know when it's actually going to happen.
Does April 3rd.
So,
oh, wait. Is that today?
Yeah, that's today. That's the Bitcoin Cash halvening.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, maybe it is actually on 420 then. If it's the Bitcoin halvening the same day, that would be pretty cool. It's kind of like a thing to celebrate. If you don't know what that means, it just means that Bitcoin will be even more
harder
scarce.
To mine.
Yeah.
Because
miners.
It's harder to mine. And miners get less for mining it, for like answering the question that their question answer. I don't want to get into the weeds. So basically, it's an important day to Bitcoin. You've got a lot to learn if you don't know what that means. So you should definitely go to bitcoin.com and learn. Click on the Learn More tab, I think it is. But we have a caller on the line. So unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hello. I actually don't really know what's happening right now. I was just putting up my weather radio. We had some storms in the area yesterday, and I was just fiddling around with it and tuning it in. I just heard you guys. I just wanted to call.
Say hi. Okay.
Don't know Excellent. How I got here. I live in Tennessee.
Cool.
Don't know how I found this station, but hi. Hello.
Hello.
How long were you listening there before you called in?
Oh, I was just listening here for like 30 seconds while I was eating my pizza and just, I don't know. Hi. You know what? Just hope you guys have a great evening.
Well, what do you think about cops, caller?
Oh, dear.
Oh, they're not too nice sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they're not, are they?
Yeah, we're talking about a particular case that happened out in Kansas where there was a newspaper that was uncovering some stuff that was going on, and they basically raided the newspaper's house, or the owner of the newspaper's house, and, you know, then his mother died the next day because she was 80-something and the stress killed her. 90-something, sorry. I don't know. When numbers get that big, I have trouble counting.
Well, don't add up, Jim. I don't know if that's your name, Jim, but I hope y'all have a wonderful evening, and hello from the other side of the country and me and my crank radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. You're fun. You should call more. And that number is...
Yeah, look up Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you can go to freetalklive.com. And the number for anybody else interested in calling is 603-283-6160. And as Colin mentioned, we were talking about this story from Kansas, and I did bring up another article that will go into... more of the backstory, but I think we should just finish the update first. It says the city of Marion's budget for 2023 was about $8.7 million, while the county's budget was about, I don't know why it's saying was about $35 million. So the lawsuit is going for $10 million to be awarded to the newspaper who had their rights violated. And they're trying to make the point that they're not trying to bankrupt the city or anything. But they believe that they're owed this, and I think they are. I think that it's ridiculous what happened to them. It's
really you know, I mean, in some way, all of the people of the town are responsible
because they didn't step in.
Yeah, because they didn't step in. You know,
because they pay the cops to do things like this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we have another caller on the line. I believe this is Skeeter from California.
California.
How do you know it's me?
We could spell.
Evolutionary capitalist.
I'm just teasing.
So I'm here to show that you guys are really all closet utilitarians, you know, based upon your answer with those child dilemmas that I gave you. The fact that you libertarians ultimately really value the consequences.
You didn't give me a child. This...
What's that?
You just say you dumb things, so I say dumb things back. Ew. Go ahead.
So
he said, I gave you that child dilemma.
Yeah. I remember. Wait, have you not called back since I was last on?
What's that?
Have you not called back since I was last on?
Did I call you? No, I don't think so. I had someone else call in for me with that subjective value question.
Oh, okay. So I was wondering about that. I was wondering if that was related to you. So is there like, are you guys like a group?
No, that's one of my minions. That's one of my evolutionary capitalists. And my disciples.
Oh my God, they're multiplying.
Wow, no, I'm just teasing. Replenishing the earth.
He doesn't totally believe in it yet, but I'm just explaining it to him. But I'm here to tell you that only a certain type of utilitarianism is compatible with a true market. Your deontological non-aggression principle will run into a bunch of different dilemmas, which are not just limited to what you do with children or if children are property, right? If you when you try to use Austrian analysis to criticize government, it doesn't say why also your free market will fail, where a market where it defends natural rights, how that fails, right? The real flaw in
the system. Does a market defend natural rights? That doesn't even really make sense.
The real flaw in systems that make them collapse is that they do not maximize profit, right? It's utilitarian.
You just are talking like an AI. And the thing is, like, I know that people who know nothing definitely may think that, like, us on the show, just like, you're going above our heads. No, you're just word salading things together. Anybody who knows, like, just a little bit about this stuff, which I'm not, like, an economist. I just have common sense and, I'm against violence. Like anybody who knows just the littlest bit knows that you're just making things up. Like, oh, in your market's not going to defend natural rights. Whoever claimed that doesn't even mean anything. Like, why would a market do something like that? It doesn't even make any sense. Like, do you even know what you're talking about? What is a mark? What do you mean by the free market? Let's just like define some terms.
He always talks about the true market, not the free market.
Oh. Yeah, I say the true market. So the free market is one that. Protects natural rights, right? Based upon
all right, bye. No, that doesn't make any sense. No, it's not a definition.
A free market is
me.
Not doesn't have to do with any rights. It's just the way goods travel through societies.
Right.
What protects natural rights is people. A gun can protect natural rights, but when the way natural rights are best protected is by society agreeing that you have these rights that are inherent in our existence and. Not violating those rights.
I do definitely think it's something that needs to be taught to people very as young as you can possibly teach these things to them.
Right. Don't harm anybody. Don't take their stuff. It's that simple. Yeah. These are principles to live by.
And neither
any economist
I mean that I have ever heard goes and claims like, oh, the free market. The definition of that is it defends natural rights. So he's just like word salading. I'm not going to talk to somebody like that. Like, I'm not going to talk to somebody whose whole point of the whole point of his calls is to derail the conversation and say things that mean nothing to anybody who actually has like a clue of what he's talking about. Like the subjects of what he brings up, not what he's talking about, because what he's talking about is nothing. He's word salading and making no sense. And the thing is, like, that's the perfect FBI troll. Like, they are like, oh, let's get somebody to call in. They don't make any sense. They annoy Bonnie. And they're stupid. And they just keep calling in to derail the conversation when we could be talking about something important. And that maybe like somebody who completely has no idea, like has never even thought about economics
might
think...
Are you controlling the speech on this show, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Huh.
I have the mute button and the drop button.
Uh-oh. How many demerits do I have to hit before you kick me off?
One more.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not controlling free speech to hang up on somebody when I gave them a chance and then they immediately ruin it. Like, he can call in, but he has to actually make some kind of sense. If somebody just calls in and starts speaking Spanish to me, I'm going to have to hang up on them because we can't have a conversation. I can't speak Spanish.
And now we find out you're a xenophobe, too.
No.
Oh, wow.
I would love to be able to speak Spanish. And even then, that'd be cool to do like a Spanish Free Talk Live episode. But my point is...
Sí, se puede.
My point is that I can't speak Spanish, so I'd have to hang up on them. And I also can't speak crazy. Mark has completely gotten him deep into a hole, gotten Skeeter deep into a hole, pinned him against the wall, made it clear and obvious that he doesn't know the definitions of the things he's saying. He actually is just rambling like a crazy person. And the thing is, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, somebody who doesn't know anything about economics might think like, he's using a bunch of words. Sounds like Bonnie's wrong, probably, because she can't dispute him. I can't dispute him because he's not making any sense.
Next time he
calls back in, I'd like, if he's listening right now, to tell me where I could look up some of what he's saying, just so that I can read it for myself, just for fun.
And you, somebody who has like studied economics yourself because you're interested in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't make any sense to you, right?
No. But it sounds, I've gotten an inkling that there's some material of some sort that he's written
and this
or
is
read
the thing.
Or whatever.
When Mark asked him that, he said he wrote it. So if he wrote this nonsensical stuff, and he can't explain it to anyone, that's the definition of being crazy.
Well, you know, I'm crazy too, but whatever.
Stop defending him.
It's your boy.
I hate Skeeter so much. Seriously.
He's definitely a frustrating caller, but at the same time, you know, it's important to point out to our listeners that we do get those from time to time. But
if any of it's making sense to somebody, it'd be a good thing to...
Call in. If you're like, Bonnie,
if you know anything
you
about
said this,
evolutionary capitalism.
No. I'm saying something different. if he has, you know, followers, acolytes, whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. So some people have heard what he said and it's making sense to them, you know, I would need to be on like a little bit of the same wavelength in order to like talk to that person and, you know, like show them where that's wrong. So anyways, I am interested in doing a brief look at least. I mean, I don't have time to look into everything. I barely have time to brush my teeth. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? But anyway, no, I brush my teeth. I'd be interested in finding that and looking into it a little.
The other thing about it is, like, it's not like I expect all callers to have something really intelligent to say, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's dumb. I just want you to be entertaining. Like, the caller before didn't even have much to say. I just wanted to ask her a question, and she was fun. I would also love, and I keep forgetting to bring it up, I would love anyone to call in with relationship advice, because I'm an expert relationship haver. Because I have the best husband on earth, so that's my criteria or my qualifications. In case you needed to know.
So, what makes Ian the best husband on earth?
Sexy, smart, cool. Built this radio show. Oh yeah, there's something else I wanted to get into on that.
Wait, are you going to change it from FTL to FLT? Free love talk.
No. But we do have a caller from Washington. Chuck from Washington, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to try to decipher what Skeeter was trying to say there. What I think we have here, everybody, is somebody who is a grazer in the Republican talking point kind of radio thing. He goes and he's obviously a Glenn Beck listener when he's talking about natural rights or whatever. And then he takes that and then puts a little bit of free market nonsense in there. And like half of the people don't even know what this natural rights thing that he speaks of is or the theory of natural rights.
See, I do, but he just wasn't using it in a way that meant anything. Natural rights just basically means that your rights aren't given to you by the government or any other human being. It has nothing to do with something that was written down. Your rights are inherent in the fact that you are human. You have the right, no positive rights, but you have the right to not have people wrong you, basically.
Well,
so
he could mean that in the sense that the monotheist sense where God, the true God, is the only one that gives you these rights. But I don't, you know what I mean? That's where I kind of picked up. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's a polytheist type of a, or maybe doesn't believe in that whole concept of a divine creator or creators or gods or, but you know what? I just, I think I just fell for his ploy here. He got me to call. And I can't help you on the relationship advice. I've had too many of them. I'd tell people what not to do. I could do that.
If you want to, that's fine. What do you think is the biggest mistake that people should avoid making in a relationship?
You should avoid lying to each other and being honest with what you need.
Aww.
And that goes into everything. If you need something, because if you're lying to this person, you're essentially lying to yourself, right?
I'm writing this down right now.
Essentially, yes, you are lying to yourself.
There you go. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I agree, and I appreciate the call so much. I think being honest with each other, like from the moment you meet each other, is really important. I really don't get how people even get into relationships. And they just like are, the thing is like you should be upfront about what you want.
Well, I will tell you this, a lot of people lie to themselves about what the relationship is going to be. So, you know, like they're actually deluding themselves into thinking there's something that there isn't. Mm-hmm. Not just feelings, just assumptions about what it is to have a relationship and what the other person's roles are. So,
I can see that. So maybe they're not doing it on purpose. Like they're not just like hiding something, but they just like don't know what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be like an important first step. If you want to get to a place where you're somebody like Chuck and you do not lie in your relationships, then the first thing you need to do is be sure of what you want before you meet the person, which I would always say that working on yourself is the best way to find somebody to love. Anybody else have a comment on that about relationships?
No, I think I'm good.
So let's get back into this story from APnews.com about the newspaper in Kansas who had their offices and the publisher's home raided just because the cops, well, they believed the cops were doing this in bad faith in order to mess with them because of the fact that they were looking into stuff that they didn't want investigated. It says the newspaper, so, okay, we've already said that they're now suing them after the raids that happened in August 2023. They're suing, the newspaper is suing the police. It says, besides the city, defendants in the lawsuit include former Marion mayor David Mayfield, who retired from office in January, former police chief Gideon Cody, who stepped down in October, and current acting police chief Zach Holden, Hoodlin.
Those are all the people on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Defendants, who as an officer participated in the raids. Marion County Sheriff Jeff Soyez, the county commissioner and a former deputy who helped draft the search warrants used in the raid, are other defendants named. Okay, so that answers our question. We were like, are they suing like the city itself? Are they suing the police themselves? So all those people. The newspaper had investigated Gideon Cody's background before the city hired him last year. The lawsuit alleges Soyez regularly said that he did not approve of Meyer's negative attitude, and Meyer is the publisher of the newspaper. The newspaper's attorney, Bernie Rhodes, noted that when police raided the home that Meyer and his mother shared, she told the former police chief, "Boy, are you going to be in trouble? My job is to make sure Joan's promise is kept," Rhodes said in his own statement. Oh, that's so sweet. Joan died. She was terrified during the raids and very angry, and then she had a heart attack the next day. We do have a call on the line. Dave Ridley in New Hampshire from RidleyReport.com. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, jumped to the front of the line. Thanks.
Well, you're an important caller, Dave, so we got to go to the front of the line.
Somebody's got to be important.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's me. But the I just got done with a Ridley rampage over at the State House.
Oh, really?
That sounds violent.
What does that mean?
Well, a Ridley rampage is just running around with a camera and asking questions no one wants to answer.
Yeah, Ridley Rampage actually doesn't sound violent to me. Maybe somebody else kind of Rampage would, like Hulk or something, but Ridley is all peace all the time, and we love him for that.
So, I've been wanting to get to the State House during a full session, which is difficult for me to do because I don't own a vehicle. But eventually I was finally able to, the stars aligned, and I was able to do that last week. And so, you know, I used to just ask people, well, what's your opinion on whether New Hampshire should be independent? You know, we just had one NH exit question, but now I've morphed that into four or five different NH exit questions. And so I just asked a record number of state reps NH exit related questions about New Hampshire independence.
I'd love to hear what they said.
Yeah, the videos have been trickling out on YouTube and, of course, my other channels. You know, just go to RidleyReport.com. That will take you. It's probably better right now to go to YouTube.com/RidleyReport because YouTube.com/RidleyReport because it's easier to interact there. And they're just, you know, as long as YouTube's letting me broadcast again, it's probably the better place to go. But, yeah, RidleyReport.com directs to other, you know, other places where I upload. But right now, YouTube seems to be slightly rehabilitated, and they're the better place to go for seeing it. But anyway, yeah, so I get, you know, a wide variety of answers. One thing I tried doing differently this time is I brought a picture with me of a victim of a U.S. war crime.
Oh, the guy with his head covered.
No, I brought a picture of Abir Hamza. It wasn't a picture of the crime itself, but Abir Hamza was a 14-year-old who was violated and murdered by U.S. forces in Iraq. You can see all this on Wikipedia. This is not a conspiracy theory.
You should hold on to your thought there, Ridley. We're going into the break. 603-283-6160. I'd like to know what the Paul Sessions were saying when Ridley shows them something like that. What do you say to a child that was, I don't know, harmed in some way? I'm not sure what the story is here, but Ridley's going to tell us. 603-283-6160 if you have something you want to bring up. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com. Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind, and I would like to thank Libertariat, who is a diamond-level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. Libertariat, that means that he went to amps.freetalklive.com. amps.freetalklive.com, and we really appreciate that. Thank you so much to Libertariat for that. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com if you'd like to learn more and see how you can support the show. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
Colin, and Colin.
Wow.
There's two of us here. Shut up. No, you.
But we also have a caller on the line. We have Dave Ridley on the line from RidleyReport.com. and he's here in New Hampshire. And you were about to tell us, okay, you went to the State House, correct?
Correct.
And you were showing some reps or some kind of politicians a picture of a person who is a victim of a crime done to them by the U.S. forces abroad, correct?
Yeah. And so the idea is to ask them, you know, why should New Hampshire remain in a union that does things like this? And so the thing that they did, that the U.S. military did, was soldiers, they killed this 14-year-old gal, and then they killed her family to cover it up.
Ooh.
This is kind of a special war crime, well-documented and everything. So this sort of showing them that picture and talking about how bad the federal government is in that way tends to stop people in their tracks and make them more serious. It was kind of rare for me to have people laughing at me or walking away once I started talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, there was maybe one or two politicians that did just kind of walk away from it without interacting with me, just pretended I wasn't there, pretended she wasn't there. But the most of them would stop and provide a fairly thoughtful answer. You know, so there was one guy who was saying, well, yeah, that's terrible, you know, but what can we do about that? Well, we've got Defend the Guard legislation that would kind of, you know, reduce New Hampshire's involvement in U.S. wars.
Yeah, Defend the Guard means that the president would have to actually declare war, or the Congress or whatever, would have to actually declare war in order for the Guard to be sent out in New Hampshire.
And yeah, the war has never been declared since World War II.
It was World War II?
Yep.
The problem, you know, with most of the arguments that I would get, and that's another thing I tried to do, is just ask people, you know, what's your objection? What's your main objection to NH exit, you know, or New Hampshire independence? But the thing I would keep getting is like, well, you know, it'd be better to just do this one thing or that other thing. You get that a lot. And the thing is, it's like playing whack-a-mole, you know,
we can fight the
federal government one issue at a time for the next 400,000 years and never catch up with them. Or we could push for independence for the next 40 years and get it.
Yeah.
So what were some of the examples of things that people said to you when you asked them that question?
Well, there was one of the reps was like, well, I'm sure that her death was Hamas's fault.
What?
So they blame someone else.
It's all because of Hamas. she didn't even get the country right. But again, like I said, most of them, it seemed like it kind of caught them. There was one, you know, that was like, well, I don't know anything about that situation, and I'm just going to flee the scene, you know. Fair enough. Okay, she doesn't have to know anything about the situation if she doesn't want to. But she knows there's been U.S. war crimes. That's not like some kind of a big piece of news to her, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that if any of you know the history of Henry David Thoreau, but he said he wasn't going to pay taxes because that was related to, you know, taxes going in some way to like the federal government, and he didn't want to support like the Mexican-American War, and that's what he get some of these details wrong. I know that there were certain taxes and different things over the course of his, let's say, career, but that's what, you know, wound him up in a local prison or jail, whatever, and then, you know, caused him to write that book, Civil Disobedience, which isn't the original title. The original title is something different, and it goes by this title, Civil Disobedience, now. But I find it interesting, you know, how perennial some of these things are, but yeah.
Like they just keep coming back up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of interesting just how, you know, Americans, you know, there's this concept of American exceptionalism is like, well, there's this thing going on all over the world of more and more countries popping up, you know, onto the scene. There's 200 countries now, roughly. There were only about 50 100 years ago. But they just have this idea that it can't ever happen here, right? It's just like it's still unthinkable to a lot of these people, and that's all we can do is just make it more thinkable, because at least we're there asking questions, at least we're, you know, putting legislation in front of them that they have to vote down.
Well, in a way, there's less countries, because if you look at like the United States, that's 50 countries, and then there's a federal government that's put on top of them that's supposed to be very limited in what it does, and it's kind of superseded everything and turned it into one nation, one state, you know. And by the way, that's built into the propaganda of the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, one nation.
Yeah, the socialist Francis Bellamy came up with propaganda to institute this whole idea of one nation under God. Yeah.
And
originally it wasn't under God, but
yeah, people also, you know, they get a little confused with terms like nation versus country versus government versus all that. Each one of those things does mean a specific thing. You can have a nation but not have a country. You know, that's why they talk about the Indian nations, the Native Americans and stuff like that. You can have a nation without having a country, without having a particular plot of land or anything like that. So by them saying one nation, what they're really trying to say is that we are all actually one thing. And they did that on purpose, because prior to that, we United States people, let's say, didn't think of ourselves that way. We thought of ourselves as, you know, Texans or New Yorkers and so on.
Yep. I kind of would. I definitely would prefer that. Like, even like down to like a smaller level, like whenever people ask me where I'm from, I don't even usually say Texas. I say San Antonio, because it's like, I'm not from Houston. I'm not from El Paso. That is a huge place. Even in New Hampshire, like if a New Hampshire person meets me, they still want to know where I'm from in New Hampshire. Like it doesn't make sense to claim all 50 states as a place you're from. Like, I bet you most people listening have not been to all 50. I haven't, and I've been to a lot.
Yeah, I haven't been to all 50 states either.
I think I've been to all but five.
Wow. You're doing better than I am.
All but two.
All but two?
Yeah.
Have you been to Hawaii?
No, I haven't been to Hawaii or Alaska. So.
Oh, you've been to the contiguous states, yep, or whatever, yep, the word is. Ridley, anything else on your mind?
That is all.
Oh, wait, I have something for you. Do you do much of the Socratic questioning with people? Like, I find that that's a good one. You don't even have to like actually propose anything. You just, you know, they'll say something. You'll say, well, why do you believe that? Or where did you hear that? You know, and you just, you know, keep going. And sometimes you could get really deep in these conversations and the person will like be going around in circles and realize they kind of sound dumb.
Yeah, I've seen Jan Helfeld do that. I don't know if that's how he pronounced his first name, but I think he's a free stater that never got around to moving here. Last I checked, I'm not sure, but he ran a program called The Bottom Line, and he lived in D.C. And so he would interview Ted Koppel and Nancy Pelosi and people like that. Nancy Pelosi called the guards on him because she didn't like one of his questions.
Yeah. There's the famous video of him with what was his name? He was the Democrat majority leader. Do you remember?
Stark.
Huh?
Stark.
No.
Stark.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on this
Chuck
guy.
Chuck Schumer?
No. But he got him to say taxes are voluntary. They said, well, is it really voluntary if I have to pay it? And it just kept going around. And it's an amazing video. Yeah, look for that. It's like, are taxes voluntary? Jan Hell, I forget how to say his last name. And yeah, you'll find it. It's a pretty funny video.
I was actually standing in the same office, I guess, probably unless they moved him. But Pete Stark was just one of these really crappy Congress Pete critters, you know, or senator. I can't remember which. But it was just really heebie-jeebie in his office when I was there in the 80s. And then later, I guess in the 90s, Helfeld shows up there and interviews him. And Stark, he got so mad at the questions that he threatened to throw him out the window.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty funny. And if people want to watch those, they can go to RidleyReport.com and watch on whatever platform they can find it on.
Oh, yeah, the New Hampshire stuff, but that D.C. stuff, you'll have to find Jan Helfeld and see what he was up to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, beep, 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 that's the sound of a satellite.
That's an old ad.
I know.
Oh, I was like, kind of, you made a Ridley voice, so I kind of thought you were saying something like that.
Yeah. I used to have all those memorized, by the way.
ThinkPenguin.com.
All right. Yeah, and that was who sponsored most of the ads on this trip. ThinkPenguin.com, much appreciated.
Excellent. Yes.
Thank you so much for the call, Ridley. We loved the Ridley Report, and lots of New Hampshire people should go watch it. But also, you should watch my interview of Dave Ridley. You can go to our Patreon, freetalklive.com's Patreon. I forget the link to that. It's just go to Patreon and type in Free Talk Live. And you
or
can find
amps.freetalklive.com. You can find it there.
Yeah, and then you can find my... Oh, wait, I said Patreon. I meant to say our SoundCloud. You can go to our SoundCloud and listen to my podcast for free. Sorry. I meant to say SoundCloud and then look up Free Talk Live. And then from there, go to Bonnie's Activist Archives. The only person I've interviewed so far is Dave Ridley. I just really think that people should be... people who live in New Hampshire should know what has happened here, because most people that live here now don't know all the stuff that went on in the before times, like before...
Before 2015, I want
before, like, the Free State Project hit 20,000, yeah. Stopped caring as much. And by that, I mean Free State Project, Inc.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the opportunity to be roommates with Dave Ridley, and Dave Ridley is a great guy. Russell Canning was also one of my roommates.
They're and he's also an old, not old, but he's also a long-time activist that I really want to interview for that.
Like, these people are activists, and they're old-timer activists. They've been through this.
They've been
before.
Active for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
People need to know the history. Like, I think that, like, I usually think it's so dumb when people argue about culture this, culture that. Nothing about being white has anything to do with, like, my life and culture. Nothing about being from New Hampshire does. I'm not, like, from here. I couldn't even really say that, like, I have a Texan culture, honestly. But, and I've just moved around so much, and I'm American. Like, we have less, like, connection to some
sort. Could you please stop saying American? That's just, you know, say yeah, you're, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, that's what people understand. But yeah, exactly. Like, I don't feel like most things have, like, some kind of, like, deep cultural impact on me.
When I go abroad, I actually tell people I'm a Missourian, and it really confuses them, because be somewhere in Latin
Texan
America,
too.
they have no idea what
Missouri is.
Well, yeah, they'll know Texas, they'll know New York, but they won't know Missouri, and so it's pretty funny.
But my point was, I think that people who moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project should actually be proud of, quote, the culture that is created here, because it's a choice. It's not just, oh, I was born a Catholic Mexican and now I have to do everything that, like, all Catholic Mexicans say and, like, all things my family says. Or I was even, like, born in America. Now I have to constantly say I back Americans in all wars abroad, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't, like, mean anything. There's no reason to be proud of just being born somewhere. That's silly. There is
a reason for it.
Why?
Deep psychological reason. It allows you to take credit for things you never did.
Yeah, so, like, a bad reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, yeah,
we landed
actually,
on the moon.
There's a little...
we landed on the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
Riley
that's an example. Yeah, Ayn Rand has a, like, an essay. It's either a standalone essay or it's from a book. I don't actually know where, because I just listened to an audio version of it. But she basically talks about people claiming things in these different collectivist ways, and that's one of them. Another one is talking about your family history sometimes, because you'll it's like, well, you didn't do those things. It's like, I'm related to the King of England or whatever.
Yeah.
But then the worst form of it is just, you know, talking about your race. It's like, those groups are just so large. I mean, the group of white people or black people. And I'm like, there's just as many, you know, jerks in that group as there are, you know, good people. So it's, you know, but you're basically claiming the successes from the group when you do that. So,
and that just makes no sense at all. Like,
yeah.
It
only makes sense in once you get down to groups that are, like, family sized or less than 100. So if you wanted to say, oh, I worked at this company and we built this amazing product, and it's like, yeah, you might be able to say that even if you were the janitor, you might be able, I would say you deserve some credit. I mean, like, the place needed to be cleaned in order for the engineers to do their design work. So, that's a granular enough level that makes sense. Everything else doesn't, though, you know.
Even when I was a kid, I never really thought much about being white. And then, like, I grew up and hear about it all the time. And one thing that kind of annoys me with all these new white pride people is, like, I actually kind of liked the fact that white people never cared about being joked about when I was a kid. White people were never like, stop offending my race. Like, if somebody said, like, oh, that's so white, like, the white people would laugh about it because it's, like, not that serious.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I feel like other races sometimes would be more sensitive. Like, you couldn't just go up and make the same exact jokes about any other race than you could about white people. But that was kind of, like, a good thing, in my opinion. It was like, oh, we don't care. Like, I'm not going to be all, like, offended. I mean, it's different if you just go up and start saying, like, white people are stupid. Like, that's obviously always has been offensive. But I don't know. I just feel like this white pride thing is like just making being white lamer. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I mean, like, are you on like some like racist, you know, chats or something here?
I'm starting to wonder, actually. Because I don't know of any people who are into white pride. Well, maybe some people are, but I don't personally know any.
Well, I see it constantly on Twitter, one. And two, I literally am in a chat that talks about race more than probably anything else other than hating me. Like, they hate me and they're racist, and that's what they talk about all day.
And you stay around in that group?
Yeah, because they're talking about me.
Wow, the narcissism is coming out, Bonnie.
Oh, I'm so glad you said it before I had to.
It's kind of entertaining, that's all.
Okay.
But 603-283-6160, I went to read this statement from the owner of the newspaper that had his, this owner had his home and his business raided by the police just because he was investigating something they didn't want him to investigate. It says, the notice that the newspaper is going to sue, also says that Meyer, the publisher, the owner, and his mother suffered extreme and severe distress, and that their estate is entitled to $4 million in damages for that. It also argues that the newspaper deserves $2 million for its damages, and punitive damages should exceed $4 million. Quote, many of those who perpetrated stormtrooper-style bullying with a needlessly huge contingent of armed officers remain in office or have been promoted. Even newly elected officials have refused to disavow the tactics used. And that's disgusting.
It's really disgusting because, you know, small town politics, people love living in small towns, but small town politics are always about the good old boy club.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting the good old boys.
So many people, they don't really leave where they live, or they've only lived in one state their whole life. They always are saying like, oh, the police in my town are really bad, like really bad. They're like the most corrupt. And it's like, everybody says that. And you know why? Because
it's probably true.
It's definitely true. I'm just saying like, they think that it's like, oh, you would be shocked. No, I probably wouldn't be shocked. They're probably just as bad as every other police officer group, because it's like, it's more rare when you're like, actually the police in my town aren't bad. Like, they're always bad because they're a group of people that believe that they have been granted extra rights that the other people don't have. That's
Well, when they tote around their shiny badges and wear their magical costumes, they always think they have special rights because they get to be the law.
They were told that they have special rights. They get paid to have special rights, even though it's not true in reality.
Yeah.
So, kind of speculated here, but, you know, doing it for fun. How do you think, like, this goes down? Like, or what I mean to say is, let's imagine, like, the case is successful and he gets, like, the $10 million or whatever. And then, like, what's the city going to do? Like, are they just going to raise the taxes on everybody? And then, like, what? Now the whole town's mad, but they're not mad at the police, let's say. I mean, that's one possibility. They might be mad at the newspaper. Like, why did you have to sue them? Like,
well,
could you imagine
that? Well, do you think they're really going to face any actual serious consequences for having to owe money? Like, they'll just get it from the Fed somehow.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it could. So it depends on specifics that I don't know for this specific example.
Or the state, maybe.
A lot of times they have, like, insurance policies. You know, they're bonded and insured. And so when you sue them, there's a payout from the police's insurance, and then their rates go up, which means that the taxes have to go up as well. But it's not, you know, it's not a one-to-one ratio. You know, if you sue them and there's a $10 million payout, that doesn't mean that their rates go up by $10 million. It means it goes up from, I don't know, you know, $100,000 a year to $200,000 a year or something like that. So, but let's say that this town didn't have an insurance high enough, and they did have to, you know, bankrupt the police department. And somebody might be thinking, like, how is that possible to bankrupt a police department? I mean, most of them, Jay's talked about this on the show, are corporations. You know, they actually just have a corporate charter. So, yeah, you could bankrupt it, or the city could bail it out. I think that could be really interesting. But the best way this thing goes down is, like, the police in that town, like, kind of disappear, or they cut the force down to, like, one guy who's actually doing something. You know, how many people raided his house? How many cops were there? It's a town of, what, 1,000 or something like that?
1,900, yeah.
1,900, so let's say 2,000. How many cops do you need in a town that size? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'd love to know how many cops raided the house. He said it was, like, an unreasonable amount, and I have this other article here. Maybe it says, but I don't see it just, like, looking, and I don't remember, because it might have been brought up in a different article Riley and I covered in August, but Yeah, I don't see it right here, but because then you could do like what percentage of the people of the city were cops that raided that house.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there were 50. If there were 50 cops, what percentage of that?
I'd be surprised if it was a number that high, but
there were 60 here.
60? That's what.
At the Free Talk Live?
No. Well, yeah, but that was from, you had all sorts of agencies involved in that.
Yeah.
I'm saying like, let's say, I think Manchester, New Hampshire has like a total of 100 something, but it's hard to count them because some are like part-time and some are full-time. Hmm. I've heard a number that's between 100 and 200.
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah. And
which has like 100,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if this town had like 10 cops, I mean, I still would say that's too many. Like, do you really even need 10, you know, in a town of 2,000? Like, what are they doing?
What percentage is that?
10 out of 2,000?
Mm-hmm.
That would be
definitely less than 1%, for sure.
Yeah, but even still, that's still just too high.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
what's 10 out of 1,000? 1%?
Well, a tenth of a percent.
Okay,
Sorry, you said 10 out of 1,000? That's 1%.
Okay, so 1%. So that makes it...
It'd be a half percent.
Half a percent, yeah. If it was 2,000.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't mean much to me. I was thinking it would be something shocking.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, that just seems like way too many. I mean, that's kind of implying that 1 out of 100 people is doing something bad in a day that they need to have a police interaction for.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that like hard to believe. In a small town in Kansas...
That's because people think that cops are around to stop people.
Have you driven through Kansas before?
Yeah, it's so flat. And you're like, oh, I see the city coming up. We're almost there. And then you're driving for another hour.
Yeah, I mean, like the worst thing, it's like, you know, kids cow tipping and things like that.
Hmm.
Like, what do you really need? I mean, like even speeding, like if you were flying down 50 highway in western Kansas. Like,
no one's going to hurt.
There's not going to hit anything.
But that's the thing. Like, people really believe that cops are out there constantly stopping bad things from happening. And they're not. They're constantly controlling people's actions that weren't going to hurt anybody in the first
doing
place.
And finding victimless crimes.
You know what? I'm going to look this up right now. I should have done this on the break. I wonder if this town is on a highway.
I forgot what the... Marion? Marion the count?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It says the Marion Police Department. So I wanted to read a little bit of
I've driven through there before, too.
I wanted to read a little bit of this older article from back in August 2023, right after it happened. So they talk about the small town Kansas newspaper was raided. It says, I wanted to talk a little bit about the raid, and that's here. It says, the Marion, Kansas Police Department confiscated computers, cell phones, and a range of other reporting materials from the office, the sole local paper in a small city of about 2,000 residents. Officers spent hours in the newsroom. It seized material from one of its journalists' homes. Eric Meyer, the publisher and co-owner of the newspaper, said his 98-year-old mother passed away the day after police raided their house. It's just, they purposely induce as much stress as they possibly can to these people. This was all over what they believe was a paperwork violation, just like Ian Freeman. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
The crimes of the state. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
The crimes of the state from K through 12th grade. They're taught to open.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass.
Through 12th grade. They're taught to open.
Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That is 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Colin.
And sticking to just basically kind of the theme of this episode tonight, which is basically that cops are pigs.
Stop insulting the noble swine.
You mean the pigs, the animal, the pigs?
Yeah.
You gotta stop insulting these things. I mean, they're nice animals, Bonnie.
They're kind of dirty and ew. They're kind of dirty, and I think they deserve to be compared to cops. I think they deserve.
Okay. I think like an STD or something like that might be a better.
Yeah, like a virus.
Yeah, exactly.
Or an infection.
Yeah, like chlamydia, whatever that.
I mean, doesn't it sound like this town with those cops in Kansas? Like that's like an infection.
Yeah, they have an infection.
You have them there. They're doing these bad things. Somebody reports on it, and so what do? They do more bad things. It's like
inflammation.
Exactly. How could you ever have justice in a town like that? I mean, literally, it's just unjust the whole thing from beginning to end.
Yeah, it really is. But cops are basically
it's
like
actually
that everywhere.
Comical how bad it is. It's like you could make a comedy about this.
Yeah, honestly.
A dark comedy.
Or you mean like Super Troopers?
Well, yeah, but that's not a dark comedy. So this would be a dark comedy. It'd be like the cops are like covering stuff up, but they keep like bungling it in different ways.
I think cops that in every single place that the cops are in are exactly the same way, as in they're bad and they're not helping anybody. They're cancerous. There are cancerous sore on the town, and there are also parasites on the actually productive people. And we're going to get into a story about what they did in California, which is so bad it had me absolutely disgusted before the start of this show today, and I'm still disgusted. And the reason is they have bad incentives. They have no incentive to do well. They're not going to get paid more if they do well. And in fact, a bunch of them join just because they know they can do bad things. But we have a caller on the line, and that's what Free Talk Live is all about. Free Talk Live is talk radio you can control, and you can call 603-283-6160 if you'd like to get in on the conversation with us. But Sarah in New Mexico has done that. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Oh, yes, Bonnie. It's always nice to talk to you. Did I ever mention about the natural things that could help with diabetes? I think I brought it up when your nurse friend was there. And, you know, I think diabetes is pretty rampant, and it's like pre-diabetics is pretty rampant too. But you never hear these on our television commercials, you know? So I think only way they could always list it is under like, they'll bring it up a healthy blood sugar level. And most of the people don't know what they're talking about. It's got nothing to do with, they don't make any connection with it. So I just want to, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, so I'm not saying that it will cure it, but it will support.
What is that? What is the thing that will cure or support it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Berberine is one of the ingredients, and chromium. Berberine, it's also helpful with cholesterol.
I don't know what this is. Do you, Colin?
I've
berberine.
I think I've seen berberine. That on the side of as an ingredient. I'm trying to remember what it is, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, and then chromium is a mineral. Green coffee bean extract and fiber. As fiber is one of those things that they can't really make too much money on it. They can't patent it, so they don't really talk about it too much. Grape seed extract, green tea extract, ginseng.
Berberine? I think it's like B-A-U-B-E-R-I-N or something.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to look this up on the air.
B-E-R.
Oh.
B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E.
Okay. This says berberine chromium. It's like one word. Oh, I see. Okay, sorry. Or not one word. It's like two separate words, but that is the ingredient. Berberine chromium. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well, I will tell you this. Fiber would help fight diabetes because diabetes is basically from people getting too much sugar.
No, it's not.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're going to disagree
with me.
Actually,
it's just not.
But when you have fiber, it allows the gut bacteria to break down the sugars.
It also helps regulate blood sugar levels.
Yeah. Because it slows down the absorption. It slows down the absorption, which means it doesn't get into your body as fast. And it also allows gut bacteria to break it down.
Everybody will be really happy to hear that I weighed myself yesterday, and I weigh 99 pounds even. Like, last time I said I weighed 99 pounds, I weighed like 99.6 pounds. Wow. Now I just weigh 99 pounds. So jeez. I think that you guys should listen to me and eat more sugar. Thank you for the call, Sarah. I don't think that I have much else to say about berberine chromium, but I'm glad you got the chance to say that out on the air because it's what Sarah wants to talk about.
So you think we should be eating more sugar?
Yeah, actually.
More sugar all the
time? It's therapeutic.
Okay. How much sugar should I be eating a day?
I can't answer. It's everybody has different levels, you know. All like
right. Yeah, for some people they eat a bunch of it and then they become diabetic. So.
I barely have to eat like food at all to survive. Like so it's obviously gonna be different for everyone.
You're not getting enough nutrients then. Bonnie.
I am. No, I am getting enough, but like if we put all our food stacked up in a tube next to each other, you guys would need way more than me. I just don't need it. Like as much as other people.
Okay.
Even like water. Like if I drank the amount of water that it's like recommended for me to drink, I'll just feel like crap all day. Like I'm completely full of water and I won't have room to eat. And the internet is just wrong about water. Like I feel like I'm getting plenty of hydration from like the coffee I drink, some of the foods I drink on top of drinking like some water, but I don't need the amount that they say on the internet. Like if I drink a gallon of water a day, I'd feel like crap. David in New Mexico is on the line. David, what's in your mind?
Oh, double T, double M. How's the tyranny business today? It's your boy, your daddy, your baby daddy, Daver. What's up?
Oh, boy.
Oh, we're starting a trend now. You know, Skeeter's been calling in for years, I guess.
No. Just like a year maybe at
okay.
the most.
But now that I started right doing here. The voice of him, now everybody's going to start doing that. So you got to get the laugh down. It's your boy.
Disgusting.
Your boy. You got to have a new
I'm telling you, subjective value doesn't exist. It's all objective.
Did Skeeter move from New York to Cali?
I don't know.
Who knows about Skeeter?
Why do you ask that? Does he have a New York
he's got
accent?
A New York accent. Oh. He's got a New York accent, dude.
It's weird you say that because I've always thought he sounded almost like somebody from Arizona or New Mexico in a way. Like I think he's from Southern California.
Because there's New Yorkers all over the place. Florida and New Mexico and Arizona and California and... all the other places that are better than New York.
Yeah, I think we need to build a wall.
Yeah, Californians coming to Utah,
keep
too.
Keep them in New York. Oh, terrible. Sorry. So, did you have a question for our tiny tyrant, our half-sized Hitler here?
I did. If the tiny tyrant Minnie-Mal allows it, it doesn't hang up on me, cut me off, refuse me to say any more specific words.
She's
like
reaching
horse.
For the button right now.
The dwarfish dictator might get angry, but go ahead.
I think I'll allow it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Your Highness.
You're welcome.
She likes that too much.
Wow. Oh, graces me with that even. Whoa. That's crazy. Colin's days are limited because he insists on speaking freely. But and you were talking earlier about something, and now it's been so long, I don't remember what the issue was on free speech. But it prompted me to ask: so, how in the world can you defend calling yourself a Free Talk Live when I can't call up and ask horse experts about horses?
Because you did like three times, it was really boring. And at some point, somebody's got to say to you,
"You mean like Bitcoin and libertarians and the Free State Project?"
Well, we can talk about whatever we want, even if it was horses we wanted to talk about. We could talk about it.
That's very good. You're onto something. You can talk about whatever you want because it's Free Talk Live, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but how come your callers can't talk about whatever they want?
They can. We just don't want to hear about it repeatedly.
Yeah, they can. But if you called in about the same thing repeatedly over and over again, it's going to get old. And yeah, we can talk about Bitcoin, but we don't just talk about like here's what we don't just say like the same news story about Bitcoin every day. That would be crazy. But the thing is, since it's our show, we could if we wanted to.
You're onto something, Bonnie.
I know I'm onto something.
You're implying that I asked the exact same thing about horses. There's another point you made.
It's all the same to me.
That's a good point. Oh, pardon? Yeah, it's all the same to you because you don't understand it. That's the difference.
And that's the thing. I'm running this show. I have to at least care. Like, I don't care. If when Sarah was talking about the chromium thing, I got to a point where I just stopped caring about what she was saying. Then I said, have a nice day, Sarah. That doesn't mean I didn't let her call.
Is it really Free Talk Live then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me, Mom?
Because you can also start your own show for one thing, and for another thing.
No. That's you're trying to escape answering the question.
No, I'm not. I let you call in three times about it, and I also let you talk about the boat that day.
She told me I could move to Somalia if I didn't like it.
What? What'd she say?
She told me that if I don't like it, I could move to Somalia.
See, there you go.
No, I didn't.
Minnie Mao, tiny tyrant.
No, I didn't.
And not very free.
It is absolutely very free. You have called in countless times to Free Talk Live to talk about lots of things.
Before you were born.
Yeah, probably. Wait, that doesn't make sense. It started after I was born, so. But.
Huh? How do you know?
Free Talk Live itself was invented after I was born. That's how I know.
You do? Well, how do you know that, though? You expect us to take your word for it?
Ian told me.
Who's Ian?
My husband, who started Free Talk Live in, I think, 2002.
Oh, the guy you're not sleeping with.
Because he's somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. I was just having fun when the opportunity presented itself.
Is this the Socratic method?
A little bit. That's what I think he's doing.
The what? The Democratic or
no?
Socratic?
The Socratic. The Socratic method of questioning.
You have to explain that to me again. I keep forgetting what the Socratic method is.
Why do you keep forgetting what the Socratic method is?
I have no idea. You tell me.
It just means you keep asking someone different questions and to elicit them to just keep talking, apparently.
Yeah, but what if you ask the questions right, they'll kind of break the concept down and get to certain details. And I mean, you might not completely answer everything, but you will provide a clearer, thought process of what something is. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, disprove them. They'll disprove themselves, and sometimes they'll even notice it. They'll be like, I don't know why I think that,
But now that you explain it, that is what I was trying to do to Bonnie, to the tiny tyrant. I was trying to do that, however it is that you explained it.
No, it's not making any point to me, in my opinion, because the thing is, you can call in about whatever you want, but you can't if you're being boring. It's the same thing as Skeeter. He calls in and he's boring because he's just so lame. And I hang up on him because he's really boring. And I could block him if I wanted to, but no, I give him the chance every single day, every single time I do the show. And then he has to call in and be boring, and then I hang up on him. That's the thing. It's kind of like people skills. Jay actually doesn't want to come on the show and talk about horses. He even says, oh, I can't help it. Call and do the voice. I can't help but talk about horses.
It doesn't sound anything like Jay, but it's the voice that I use for him because I can't actually do his voice. It's basically the same as Alex Jones' voice. I just love horses so much. I can't stop thinking about them. I'm dreaming horses. I'm thinking horses.
But he wants to talk about freedom because that's the main purpose of the show.
Well, I mean, even then, I'm really thinking about horses. But
it was noticeable the other day when you shut down horses that after you hung up on me, you immediately for the next 10 or 15 minutes talked about chickens and pigs.
It's just different to talk about the freedom aspects of owning livestock than it is to be should I breed this horse with this horse specifically, Jay? Let me know. That's something that should be texted. Email him.
Sometimes you have chores to do to get the freedom, Bonnie, because actually the horse's thing is all about freedom.
And this is the other thing. Ian, I basically get the rules from Ian because Ian started this show and also because he's my husband, so I get all of the rules from Ian. And he says that if something can be Googled, it's not radio worthy. Sarah used to call in to be I can't think of something right now. She'd be like, what is this? And we'd be like, it's this. And then we found out it's because she doesn't have the internet.
Wait, weren't you telling me that she was calling in how do I restart my router or something like that?
I don't know about that specifically. Maybe Nikki was telling you that, but she does stuff like that literally.
How do I program the time on my VCR?
It's Sarah, you might need to Google that. Yeah, it's not Google. So there are definitely things that are not radio worthy. Thank you for the call, though, David. Always fun to talk to him. We have another caller on the line, Law Dog in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just hope that this is radio worthy here.
Me too.
The Oakland County, it includes the suburban Detroit area. Mm-hmm. There's some Chilean ninjas that got a visa waiver, and they're starting to go into wealthy neighborhoods and case them out and do some really high dollar crime and ripping these people off.
What does this mean? Ninjas? They're actually ninjas from Chile?
Well, I think they're Chilean, which means they're from Chile.
Right.
And they dress up like ninjas and they go into these rich people's neighborhoods and
they're thieves?
Break in their houses. Oh, okay. And they steal stuff. And they got here on a visa waiver.
Is this like anything like in South Park when the boys wanted to start a gang, so they were dressing up like ninjas in their gang?
It could be that. I don't know. I just I seen it and I thought I'd give you a call and let you know what's going on in the wealthy suburbs of Detroit. There
are these people. Immigrants that are like recent immigrants or something, or is there just a big contingent of Chilean people there?
Evidently, there's a few of them there that have started a crime ring.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if these people are wealthy, you know, could they just pay for more private security? I mean, that's already what happens in a lot of Detroit. What is it, Detroit Threat Management?
What's
right?
that?
Oh, you haven't heard about that? Riley, maybe you know.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I think basically the Detroit police or department was not doing a good job, so private security was called.
They have some private cops on top
of it. Yeah, and it's way better. So, for instance, and I forget, they've been around for a long time. When I first heard about it, I thought it was a new thing, but apparently it had been around for several years. So it might have been around for even like a decade by now or more. But they've only killed one person ever. And, like, the case is, like, really clear. It's like the person was shooting at them, and then they shot back. So it's, you know, that's way better than the police, where it's just, like, you get pulled over for a ticket, and then you're dead on the side of the road because you moved in a way the cop didn't like, you know?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah. So
what are you reaching for?
Yeah. I do think there is a thing where this makes me sound like a left libertarian, but people who have property, you know, don't pay the full price to protect it, because everybody pays for the police. But then, you know, the police, if they're protecting property, they're protecting it unevenly. You know, nobody.
So, like, somebody who like rents an apartment and doesn't have that many belongings is paying the same price, but
in a sense, depending on how the taxes are collected and things like that. But yeah, there's. I mean, if you want to have a lot of stuff and you want to keep it, then you should want to pay to protect it. And so I don't see, you know, why they don't just do that, these people, you know?
Yeah, I it's not like I'm defending the Chilean ninjas or anything, but I do see what you're saying. Like, it's not everybody's responsibility to protect their property.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I have heard a long time ago that there are like some private police in Detroit, but I also thought it was like a new thing. I didn't know it was like, it's been around for a long time or anything. I wish, why isn't it in more states or countries or cities?
There's just not. Well, so this is the thing. When the government moves into an area like education or healthcare or whatever, because they're taking money from people in order to pay for it, the people now don't have the money. And so people kind of just use the services that the government's providing, even though it's not cheaper or better. It's like, why pay twice, you know, for something that you've already paid once for? And so you see that with everything. I mean, that's why most people don't do, you know, private schooling or fire departments, things like that. You'll see places where there are like volunteer fire departments, but you won't see places where there's both.
Yeah.
That I'm aware of. So.
Well, the story we were about to get into that was really, really bad, really disturbing, that I brought up before we went to the calls. It says a video shows California deputies fatally shooting abducted teen as she surrenders.
Oh, boy.
And I watched the video and I can describe it. It's really disgusting. It says, this is from APnews.com. It says a teenage girl who had been kidnapped by her father was following a sheriff's deputy's instructions and appeared to be surrendering when other deputies fatally shot her during a gun battle on a Southern California highway, according to a recently released video and audio. Savannah Graziano, 15, was shot and killed as she ran towards San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies amid a hail of gunfire on September 27th, 2022. Her father, 45-year-old Anthony Graziano, was also fatally shot. The San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department released the audio and video clips, including a heavily produced and narrated 15-minute video on Friday in response to public records requests made by the Associated Press and other media outlets. The deputies did not have body-worn cameras, but footage was recorded by a sheriff's helicopter and witness dashboard cameras. So that's the video I saw from the helicopter. Mm-hmm. It shows... It looks like somebody, possibly even with a blanket around them, like or she had like bigger clothing because she was a small person, but it looked like there was like a blanket around her shoulders or something. And you see the cop like telling her to come, mm-hmm. and she's like walking slowly, and then she starts to run, and then she's shot down. You hear, "Dang it," or something like that. Like they're like, "Oh, damn it," or something like that.
Mm. Oh, like, an accident. Oh, we slipped.
Seriously, it's like. They're like, oh, crap. Oops. Like, why was she shot?
Well, you know, think about this. All of those police are wearing bulletproof vests.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, could you just take one, like, the potential literally. Of one hit before
They're
unloading?
Cowards.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. I have something to say about this when we come back.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. We'll get back into the phones when we come back. It's Free Talk Live. Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac and Linux. social.freetalklive.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Colin.
And we were talking about a story where a 15-year-old girl was murdered by police in California, and the camera, the footage has just been released. But I do want to go to the phone calls and thoughts of our listeners. But did you have something to say, Colin?
No, go ahead.
Renee in Louisiana. Renee, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah. What's in my mind is unless you put your soldier or you're a policeman, I mean, I could be wrong, but from what I'm hearing right here, that the police might have did the wrong thing by not saying stop. Like, they're supposed to be proactive in saying what? Stop. Stop. I don't
they were telling
don't
her to come, and she was.
What if she was death, or what if she?
Death.
Yeah,
that's life. That's life for combat arms in a combat profession. That's life. I mean,
so I almost cussed. This is
like
so
that.
Ridiculous, Renee, that I almost had to dump myself, and I almost cussed. It's so ridiculous that you would defend this in any way. She was following directions. She was being told to come towards an officer, so she did. And then she was shot.
Because I didn't see it. I'd have to yet see it.
Okay, then maybe you should Google things before calling.
Well, I heard from what you said, they ran to her. Then policemen need to say stop.
They didn't want to say stop because they were telling her to run to them.
No, that's wrong. They're going to tell her run to them and then shoot her. That's wrong right there. But most of the time, the situations I'm in, I'm going to say stop.
Why would you say stop if you wanted her to run to you? They were saying, quote, unquote, passenger, get out. Come to me. Come to me.
Well, I don't see why they need training. They're wrong. I'll tell you that. They're wrong if they did that. But lots of these shootings happening, I've been arrested several times. I've been detained many times. I've been proactive. I've been cooperative. I got to tell you, when you have a business like a hot sauce plant, they will have an active shooting film, and they need to show how to deal with the police film also.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If people just comply, then they won't get shot, right? Like this girl who was complying?
You don't have to just comply. You got to be smart with how you deal the police. You got to know what to tell them.
Yeah, she's just stupid. What a dumb 15-year-old girl.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But the dumb education system, and the police might be dumb because they need more training. It costs for quality. If you don't pay for quality, you're going to have crap.
Why would I give them more money for training, whatever you're trying to say there? Why would I give them more money for training when I could just fire them because they kill people when they're following orders? Like, I don't want to give them more money. I don't appreciate their services.
Well, I'm telling you, you get privatized security, and they'll do sometimes the same thing, like Blackwater. That's why they changed the
name.
That's
why you can fire your private security. You can't fire the police, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you could sue the individuals for what they've done, like individually, not just the city or the police department. Yeah, I mean, they're protected from that right now. The police officers hardly, as individuals, ever feel any repercussions for any activities they do.
You want me to tell you some of my experiences with the police?
Go ahead.
Sometimes when I'm not too busy, I will write a paper and go to the supervisor and complain. And I know they say the good old boy system, but I'll tell you what, after enough people complain about that little good old boy at the bottom messing up, the one on the top going to say, hey, buddy, you need to take your post-certified rear end and go get a job somewhere else and leave a paper trail on them too. You get what you pay for. The minority community
don't get what you pay for.
Follow up to a supervisor and tell them when the policeman mess up. I've done that in the past. I have the time to do that. But if a policeman mess up, with my training, I will make sure I have the number, the name, what he did wrong. I'll bring my case like this guy's a liability to
you. Oh, yeah,
you,
that's what this girl should do. She should totally do that. They messed up. She should go complain.
If it's definitely wrong, they should complain.
Well, she can't because she's dead. The other thing about it, Renee, is I want to know, have you ever gotten a police officer fired because of your complaint?
Yes, I got one removed from being on the beat. He's stuck behind the office, and I had to go complain for something. He's calling me sir. I hate him now. He was provoking me to do something.
So you're saying that he got sent to office work instead of being on the streets?
Yes. I went to his
they don't care about that.
I told him, look, this dude was unprofessional. This dude was provoking me for something I did in the past, but wasn't at the moment. He prejudged me. He was daring me to do something to show off in front of the woman policeman and his buddy. I could see it on the face of the other policeman. They didn't go along with that. I proactively got him out of that situation because he don't need to be there. Only people that can handle it and do it right need to be there.
Well, Colin and I recently thought about, like, should we, like, complain about some cops that, like, pulled us over the same day, the same police, like, two different times, and, like, I was driving my car alone and he was driving his car alone, but in the same day, these cops in this specific town pulled us over for no freaking good reason. And, like, we thought about it. We're like, should we complain? Should we go, like, call and complain? But I like, talked about it with Ian, and Ian was like, no, there's no point. Like, what's going to happen? Like, you just complain to... It's like if I... It's like when David is mad that I hang up on him because of horses, so he calls me to complain to me.
There are people who've gone in to complain about the police, and then it just makes things worse for them.
I was thinking that, too.
And also, you know, as far as it goes to, like, complying with the police's... a particular police or whatever their orders, there's no guarantee that you can comply with their orders well enough that mm-hmm. they won't kill you. There mm-hmm. was a case, I think it was maybe in Arizona or New Mexico. This one got national attention because the cam footage off of the cop just showed him the guy's crawling on the ground and he's telling him to come forward, and then he's saying, but not like this, but like that, but like this, and then he just, like, the guy's like crying as he's walking forward because the cop has a assault rifle, you know.
He's getting off on just, like, telling him new instructions.
I don't want to use the word assault rifle, but, you know, not just a a pistol,
I
right?
I think I remember the story. Yeah, where the police officer is trying to make this guy play Simon Says or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then he just kills him. You know, you said at the beginning of this segment before taking the call, you said, they murdered her. And I'd like to kind of challenge people in their heads. How could you prove that this wasn't a murder? Like, let's take this case of the town in Kansas where, we had a reason to do what we did. We went in because we thought he was committing identity theft. Ha, ha. And, like, it was clearly a personal vendetta. Mm-hmm. How do we know that this thing that happened there wasn't?
Now,
granted, we have a story that there was a kidnapping and all of this. But what if it was actually just a giant conspiracy to, like, kill these people?
Right.
How would we know any different? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I have to ask myself that. You know, after living in this country for 30 whatever odd years, it's like, wow, we actually don't know anymore. We don't know anymore that the police aren't just murdering people for fun. Here's a case that happened in the last year where another one, there was a lady, she got pulled over for something so stupid and trivial like, she didn't have a registration sticker or something on her car. They took her, handcuffed her, took her out of her car, put her in the back of the police. It was a truck. Except that truck was sitting on a railroad.
Whoa.
Oh, you haven't heard about this one?
No,
yeah.
I don't
and
think
so they have her in the back. Then all of a sudden they see the train coming. The cops get out of the car and run. The train smashes into the police car with a lady in the back. And it's like, wait, a traffic ticket? And this has nothing to do with her like not complying or anything. It's just, this is how, to me, it's like, the lady cops who did this didn't like that lady and like, hey, how could we kill her?
Yeah.
How could we like mess her up? And it's like, I have to ask myself, how would it be any different? It's like, you know, if you were on a jury and they brought somebody in and they said, hey, we think this person's committed murder. And it's like, well, you know, I don't really know what was in their heart. I don't really know what was in their soul. But at the same time, this does look like you really did just want to kill somebody. Like you went out, you bought a knife, you did this, you did that, you did all the way down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I look at these cases and I'm like, that's how bad it is. Like, here's how this case in California should have gone down. Like, absolute worst scenario. It should be like, she ran at them and then something happened and no, a cop got like a scratch or a this or that. They wear bulletproof vests. They have training. They have weapons. There's multiple of them there. They have non-lethal options on them in addition to lethal options. So they're like, we need to go catch this car. There's a kidnapped girl in it. Make sure you shoot the girl. Like that's what it sounds like to me.
You could totally set up something like that.
Absolutely, you could. And it just seems like the police are more happy to use their guns than to say, wait a minute, let's think before we shoot sometimes.
Yeah, because they know that they have bad incentives. That's the thing. And thank you for the call, Renee. Well, they have bad incentives that private protection companies wouldn't have. Their incentive is to, do whatever they want and they still get paid. But a private
I mentioned the thing with the Detroit threat management, and this might be out of date. This is what I knew as of a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. They've only had one instance, I think, where they've ever used deadly force against somebody, and it's a very clear-cut case. It's like that person was charging at them with a weapon, you know, very clearly, and then they, you know... In the same amount of time... In Detroit, the Detroit police have killed more people. So it's like you really have the apples to apples comparisons here of what private security could do. So while people will call it and say, well, private security could still kill somebody, it's like, yeah, how often does that happen? Like once, you know, every 10 years versus this police stuff where it just happens all the time.
It's because they would be afraid to lose their job.
The cases are getting more and more ridiculous, like an acorn or walnut falling.
Yes, it was an acorn.
You know, yeah.
It was an acorn. I was on the show when we talked about that story.
Yes, it was an acorn fell on the roof of his cruiser, so he did a duck and roll, barrel roll, whatever you call that, and then turned around and started shooting every single bullet out of the magazine of his
which is just stupid.
Gun he was owning.
If you've ever listened about old Wild West encounters with duels and stuff like that, there's a saying, it's like, you just let the other guy shoot first, and then you take your time.
What does that mean?
Like, you'd have a duel, right? So the one guy, each guy gets a shot, right? So the one guy immediately turns around and shoots. And he's like, and then you just take your time.
Because then he's not allowed to shoot again?
Yeah, he's not allowed to shoot again. But you can take as much time as you want to point at him. Right. In other words, what I'm saying is if the police were in a situation, unloading an entire clip is retarded because you're not going to have any more bullets to protect yourself with. Mm. Like, it's really dumb.
The duck and roll thing, if that's what you call it. He was like super fat. You could tell by his hands. He just like gets on the ground and rolls around and then stands up. Like, to me, that sounds like you're making yourself more of an easy target. Like, you're not getting out of the way of anything. What was he thinking? Like, that seemed like a little kid playing cop.
Yeah. I mean, we are jumping around between a lot of different cases, but
there's so many,
but you take all of these anecdotes and you put them together and you wind up with a situation where it's like, this is really ridiculous and horrible. And
we
this
don't
is
need
not,
these people.
This is not the sign
they
of,
don't
a
protect us.
Of a civilized society. Mm-hmm. Like, my whole entire life growing up, people always say, oh, the United States is better and these other countries are bad because in those countries, the cops will kill you. I'm like, no, that's here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't happen in many other Western, you know, advanced countries. It just doesn't happen like this to this degree. You know, then you say that it's the brainwashing is really powerful because then you bring up the private security. They say, well, but the private security could do it too. And I'm like, except they don't.
Yeah.
You know, you can see that they don't. We have the statistics for it. So, I mean, as far as I'm not trying to, you know, say this, you know, the argument's over, but it kind of really is. I mean, we should be moving on as a society to doing this. And all these people who defend this activity, like, you need to get your heads checked. Why is it you give this one group a pass
for murder?
For, like, I mean, I would make, if I was a lawyer,
they're
I'd be like, this is
safe,
premeditated
Colin,
murder almost.
Colin, they're just trying to keep us safe, and they make mistakes. They're just like anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, could I do that? Could I just go shoot people and then say,
we don't have shiny badges and uniforms.
Oh, well, I was trying to keep people safe.
I think it's the special pleading of people who want to justify murder or justify violence in the name of, oh, they're just doing their jobs. No, they're not. I think there are better ways for police to handle situational awareness, but they're not trained on situational awareness. They're trained
guns out. You know, I mean, people will talk about how they could be trained better and all of that. But, you know, there's all sorts of it. I mean, that's just one of the problems. The other one is the kind of people that do go into this profession. And I'm just going to be, I mean, and while there are some nice ones out there, let's say, I don't think most of them are. I think most of them are there because they really want to have power over people and do things and get off on it. Because I've encountered that behavior from people when they're not police and then when they are. And I just know that that's a type of person who should not be in those jobs. In fact, there's stories I've heard where people would be like, oh yeah, there's this one kid in our town and he was like kind of, you know, like violent and had a lot of pent up anger. And one day somebody said, you know, you should go into the military or the police. It's like, no, that's that guy should not go into either
so
of those.
So you can get some of that pent up anger out on
the
brown people.
He should go into boxing.
He
should go into MMA fighting. You know, that's a good way to get rid of that aggression in a voluntary, you know, contractually agreed upon way.
You should go into meditation.
Well, no, I think it's okay for people to be violent as long as it depends on how we define violence here. As long as it's an agreed upon thing, because I would say boxing and fighting is violent, but at least you've agreed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I wouldn't encourage anybody to go get concussions and stuff like that and like glamorize
violence.
Why
are you taking
violence?
Low shots at me here?
What?
Just because I've had all those concussions from all the fighting I did.
I don't know about that. I just think that
I'm joking.
In general, like if it was my kids or like somebody I cared about and I could tell like, oh, this person has pent up anger, I would think, let's get to the root of this. Not, oh, let's go get you around a bunch of other boys with testosterone and
so you can be violent.
So you can punch each other in the face. Yeah. I don't know. But I do know what you're saying. There are literally tons of cases, like Jay has told me of a case where there were these kids in his town that were just like bullied and they were angry and they were crappy and they would get in fights all the time and also nobody liked them. And like all of those people like that ended up cops in his town,
mm-hmm.
like to this day, like the kids that were his age when he was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you the one thing that makes cops more mad than anything else that I do. It's just not showing them respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that
That's
really
so true.
it gets under their skin like nothing else.
Yeah. And the thing is, they always like to turn it around on you. Like when I got banned from visiting Ian because I was yelling at that cop, he kept saying like, you don't have to be rude. The thing he started doing right when he started, the reason that our interaction began, which was his fault, what he said to me was rude, but he doesn't believe he can be rude. He doesn't believe that I have like any reason to be respected. I'm not one of him. Like, I'm not one of his you
gang
know,
buddies.
Gang
yeah,
members.
Well, yeah. One time, this is before I was even all of the, let's say, libertarian that I am. I was in Missouri and I had a police interaction. And you know, he's like, "Oh, what happened here?" And I was just like, "Oh, I won't be answering any questions," which is your right not to answer any questions. Well, he said, "If you're going to treat me like a piece of poo," but he used another mm-hmm. word, "then I'm going to treat you like a piece of poo." And he threw me on the ground and handcuffed me. And I'm like,
"Whoa,
wow, that's pretty pretty crazy there." I mean, there's no reason to do any of that
it's
at all.
It's not treating somebody badly. It's
yeah,
not
it's like literally my
badly.
Constitutional right not to answer you.
Yeah,
you
if somebody else walked up to you on the street and you said, "I'm not going to answer any questions," I really don't think they'd react that way. They'd maybe be confused, maybe even actually a little hurt, like, "Why does anyone want to talk to me?" But I don't think they would say that, like what you just said, he said, and then throw you on the ground. I don't think most people would feel they had the right to do that just mm-hmm. because you didn't want to talk to them. That's crazy.
Yeah. And he should know, like, that's your right, you
yeah.
know. And it's not even like this is a crazy thing. Like, you just came across me, you know, like after I just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, it's a traffic accident with nobody other than my own vehicle, you know, and nobody's hurt. It's just my vehicle's a little damaged.
Wow. And yeah, that's the thing, that they should be trained and know that you literally have the constitutional right to say that.
Yeah,
but they
yeah.
that it's literally just like a pride thing. And the thing is, like, I'm just
respect
surprised
my authority.
I'm surprised no cops have ever harmed me other than making me put on boots that were filled with glass, because I definitely like lose my cool. I made a cop cry once by just like cussing him out and telling him he should kill himself, and he should have done it right then.
Jeez.
And the other thing is,
whoa,
I also
Bonnie,
told him his
you've
parents
got a lot of
should.
Pent up anger. Have you thought about MMA
I had to
or
go
boxing?
To I had to go to anger management classes because of that, and he was wrong.
Oh wow, I didn't know that's funny.
I thought I told you that, but anyways, the thing is, I'm surprised that none of them have ever actually like harmed me other than the one thing I just mentioned, because they did before, I guess. Because they get really mad, because I think it's because, like, I'm a small woman. Like, I should definitely not be standing up for myself against them. Like, this one... And the thing is, like, they immediately show their sexism, too, a lot of the times. Like, this one cop, I was filming them after Footloose, Frank. He's a listener sometimes and a caller sometimes to the show. And this lady named Therese. And I think 7 other people got arrested for no reason at a... some kind of meeting of politicians. I can't remember what it's called in New Hampshire. It was like a special meeting of politicians that the public was allowed to go view, and nine people got arrested. It was 2021.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, it was like we were talking about earlier.
Wait,
the COVID,
I have a point, though.
You know, silencing people stuff that they tried pulling off. I still can't believe this country is still like one piece after all that happened.
More people should be angry about a lot of stuff that happened back then.
Oh,
but,
of course they
so
should.
I went
well,
to
no,
the,
now they're distracted by, you know, like the Ukraine and Israel and...
Yeah, they just, like... they don't actually have principles, so they'll be upset about whatever they're told to be upset about.
Yeah.
But so I went to the police station. It's actually the same police station Ian's being held at now, my husband, the founder of the show. And I was filming them and asking them questions about, like, what, you know, why did this happen? Are they going to be released? Blah, blah, blah. And this one cop was just being a jerk, so I was being a jerk back to him. And he said, "I'm sure you're a peach to live with." And it's like... like, it's just like, I don't know. They clearly really hate that a woman is being rude to them, like more than just like a man being rude to them. Because they're like, "You're supposed to be like attracted to my power." I honestly think that they think that.
Well, there are a lot of women who are attracted.
I don't think most people.
No, they have a phrase for it, badge bunnies.
Yeah, but I still don't think that means most people. Do you guys really think most people are attracted? I don't believe that. I know plenty of girls. I know lots of girls, and I know lots of girls who like men, and I've never heard them say they're into cops.
Yeah, but it's got to be easy if you are, because like they just find you, and and then you don't have to have a personality. They just put the suit on every time you want to, you know, get frisky.
The cop.
Yeah, it's got to be easier for them that way. They're like, "Oh, finally, I just found somebody. She just loves me because I put this uniform on." Yeah.
I only know like a couple women that are totally fine with getting beaten up and returned to their husband all the time. So. I guess those types would like cops, I would say. But I don't know a ton of them. Because, you know, cops beat their wives at a rate of over 40%. Higher than any other occupation.
That is definitely
except apparently
a high
NBA.
Really?
That's what I heard, but I'm not sure if that's true.
Wait, yeah, I'm not. I'm too short for the NBA, so maybe I'll go be a cop.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Oh, wait. I thought I was muted.
Remember the list of things that are you don't have the right to do, Colin?
Yeah, it's supposed to hurt people. That's right.
Don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can remember all four of those after all these concussions.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you can't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. You know, don't steal. Things like that.
That basically sums up what happened in this story. So this girl in San Bernardino County in California got shot on the highway because she was complying. She was complying with an officer's orders, and a coward, bitch-ass man who is wearing a stupid costume and has a shiny badge shot her because he was scared of nothing. Because he hated her. Who knows? Like, we'll never know, and he'll never face consequences.
I challenge everybody, whenever you read these stories from now on, in your mind, think, like, what if this was intentional,
mm-hmm.
and how would it ever look any different than it does?
Right.
And I think that's a really powerful test. I mean, that's like, let's say you think, you know, your boyfriend's cheating on you, and it's like, well, oh, wait, if he weren't or if he was, how would it look any different? You know,
yeah.
Right. You have to like play with those games. Yeah. Or mind games or whatever.
There are tons and tons of stories, but that one that you gave with them leaving a woman on the railroad is
like they had enough time to get out of the car themselves and run away. They could have just
started. What does that have to do about situational awareness?
They could have just started the car, but also there's no reason that she needed to be handcuffed over a license plate.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, like when I heard that case, I'm like, I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but I thought, like, how would you know any different? How would you know that the night before in a bar, that woman took the guy that the female cop was interested in, and now she's getting even, you know?
We just don't know.
This has been Free Talk Live, encouraging you to think about things differently. You can call in tomorrow. We'll be back on freetalklive.com if you'd like to learn more. And thank you so much for listening. Peace.
You want to move to the free state, and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.